This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. I gotta turn down my headphone there. I just scared myself. I'm trying to wake everyone up. It's cloudy out here. It's rainy. It's, you know, dismal, depressing, you know?
I was going to say, this is like the eighth consecutive show that we could say that.
Yeah.
Are you on?
Is Andy's mic on?
Hello? Let's hope not.
Dr. Jason Dvorkin is in the control room. Gary's not here today. Jason's talking into the mic. We can't hear him. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
Better that way.
There we go. There we go. Okay. Hello. Actually, it's good with Andy's mic on.
I'm still not hearing Andy.
I like. That's good.
Can you hear me?
All right.
Yeah, I can hear it, but hello.
Tom hasn't said anything yet, so I don't know.
Tom's here. Paul's here. Andy's
you can hear
here.
Me.
I'm here,
Tom.
Fred.
Oh, I think. Can I hear me now?
Yeah. And Jason's here.
Dr. Dvorkin.
Dr. Dvorkin in the control room.
I just think it'd be funny if we went through the whole show. We thought we could hear you, but we really couldn't.
No, I think I'm on now.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at
patriots.com.
We already have several.
Hello?
I think he's on.
I can't hear Andy in the headphones. I can hear Fred and Tom just fine.
Early entry for worst show ever.
No, I think I don't know. Maybe
no, I think
that's
beating
some good competition. Good competition.
All right, all right. Well, it is the dog days of football here. Actually, the strength and conditioning off season program for the Patriots doesn't really end until July 7th.
Hello.
Officially, but I'm sure
still can't hear.
Sure, a lot of guys aren't here right now. So
yeah, they have some guys finishing up the late portion of the off season program, Fred, through July 7th, I believe.
Yeah.
So there is still some people kicking around. Obviously, injured guys are still getting their rehab work in.
Yep.
And whatnot. So there's some activity.
Hello?
By
oh, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Andy's here.
Now you're on.
Nice. All right.
But so there is some activity around the stadium, not nearly as much as there was, say, last month at this time.
And right. They do have to work on 4th of July.
Do they?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
We have.
Or at least the offensive lineman, I know.
The offensive line will have to be here on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Well, usually, doesn't Robert Kraft have a party down at the Cape? Oh, that's during training.
Well, I think you would know a lot more about that than we would.
No,
not surprisingly, I've never received the invite to that.
Maybe Dante's going to have an offensive lineman barbecue.
No, I think he's making them work.
No, afterwards. You know, you make them work in the morning, and then you give them a big barbecue afterwards. That would be a good barbecue to go to, and a barbecue made for offensive linemen.
I guess when the team rushes for 2.8 yards a carry, they don't get 4th of July off.
Wow.
Wow. Speaking of how tough Tom is Wrinkled some feathers.
Evidently.
Ruffled some feathers.
Wrinkled some feathers.
There's a guy out in Seattle.
Some idiot in Tacoma.
Yeah. Actually, he... Well, let me give you a little background.
Well, I'm just wondering, since he's doing his in-depth study on websites, team websites, I wonder if he's monitoring the show today, and I hope he is.
Yeah.
I hope he is, because I got something to say when Fred's drunk.
Anyway, every Tuesday we do Ask PFW, which is a mailbag on Patriots.com, which everyone knows. And
most Tuesdays.
Well,
we'll be returning sometime in late July.
And the idea of a mailbag is it's the person. It's not the team answering it. It's the person. It's a question and then answered by a person. So it's that person's feeling. It's not meant to be objective. It's not meant to be, flat-out analysis. It's the person's opinion. It's male. And, we get a little edgy sometimes.
And we try to, anyway. That's
radio
that's,
for dummies.
That's intelligent. I mean, that's intentional. We try,
And
we don't just want to give all
the
bad answers.
We must be doing something right,
anywhere.
Because it's the single most read article on Patriots.com.
Right. Not only that, we learn if we do skip a Tuesday. We usually get emails saying, what are you doing? Every Wednesday I get up and read my coffee and read SPFW. What are you doing?
So the fans, they want us to give our opinion. If they don't want vanilla. Oh, jeez. Andy just got up. His mic was hooked to his leg. He just knocked the mic down on the ground.
He got up like a mess. He was stung by a bee, too. I mean,
you got stung by a bee?
No, that's like how
he... That's exactly how he got up.
He's just a mess.
Tom, that description was perfect.
He didn't like the cans. He had a new...
In vacation mode already. I packed it in.
So anyway, we do this thing every Tuesday, and it's a little edgy, and sometimes, the various department will be upset with what we wrote, and, sometimes we go over the edge maybe a little bit,
and we'll be the first to admit there are times that we've all individually gone over the edge a little bit.
And sometimes what we write is completely defensible. Well, this guy from Tacoma News Rag, what's it called?
I don't know.
Anyway, he happened to be on our site, and I think he was because I think the title of our yesterday's mailbag was had Ty Law in it, and Seattle Seahawks are now, I guess, there's been word that they might be interested in Ty Law, so I'm sure this guy was doing some research to see what the Patriots were saying about that whole thing, and stumbled across Tom really criticizing the NFL.
The officiating
in the NFL. And
which we, everything that we have said on this show, which I don't get because we can talk about it on the radio show for the website, but we can't write it.
Well, the thing about it is, I think you're entitled to your opinion. I want you to write your opinion. You might have gone over the edge in how you express your opinion. But this guy, has to be like, oh, well, I can't believe a team would write such a thing about a league that it works for and blah, blah, blah. So he calls Stacey James, our director of media relations. Does this guy work for the team? I can't believe that you would allow that. Emails it to Greg Aiello at the league. Is this authorized? Does the league have any control over what teams
say? He wondered if the league should fine the Patriots.
Right, right.
For criticizing
the
officials.
Right. And Greg Aiello said, no, all teams are responsible for their own content, So then...
Basically laughed him off.
He came out with his blog today. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
Who did?
This guy up in Tacoma.
That's what he was doing. He was working on a blog.
And he mentions your name, and he mentions Patriot Football Weekly. But by the way, thank you. And he has a link to pfwonline.com.
Thank you.
but saying that, it's hard to believe that, a team would allow this. It's just... silly.
Talk like that.
That's the tone that Fred read the blog in.
And the other thing that he pointed out, he didn't mention in his blog, but he pointed out to Stacey, I think he mentioned that you didn't think, Tom Casale doesn't think that Ryan Clarich has a chance to start.
Me and about 8 million
right.
people.
Right. Perfectly legitimate opinion. Now this guy's point was, a couple injuries and this guy could be starting. And if I wrote it.
Which I put that in the response.
If I wrote it, you'd probably be criticizing me. Saying this to Stacey.
Is this guy, to me this reeks of like a joke.
Here's my comeback.
This is my comeback. You don't need to have talent to work in Tacoma, Washington. Boston, New York, those fans are very knowledgeable, and if you don't have talent, you'll get snuffed out sooner or later. You can sit in some lousy little city like Tacoma, Washington, work for that joke newspaper for as long as you want, and no one's ever going to call you out.
Would
you
this
know
be
what?
An example of perhaps nope. going over the line
nope.
a little bit?
But nobody cares about the Seattle Seahawks. They're way up in the Northwest. Nobody gives a darn about them. No one cares if they live or die, and there's sports writers there. You can be have no talent at all and work there. And this guy probably
this
has
is what
no
it smells
talent.
Like to me. It smells like just another one of these writers who are starting to get a little bitter and really concerned that teams are taking content, you know, and putting it out themselves and, you know, beating these guys to the punch, getting more readers, getting a bigger following, you know, and they're worried about becoming irrelevant, you know. And I that's what it smells like to
and
me.
And to show how smart this guy is, he puts a link to our site on his blog.
Right.
That ought to tell you about his intelligence, and I hope he's listening. And if you got a problem, you know me directly.
He could turn that around and say it shows that I'm not worried about it. You know, but the thing about it is, if you're going to write about a guy, you know, why wouldn't he call Tom Casale
right.
and say, hey, is this
That's the whole thing that my biggest problem with our whole plight here is that they go to the team and say, how can you let such and such happen?
Right. I don't think he was going to the team because he didn't want it to happen. I think, he might have been wondering, hey, you know, this is...
I got to tell you, though, if the guy covers the Seahawks and never writes anything like Ryan Claridge is going to have a tough time...
He's a terrible writer.
Then he doesn't cover the team. I don't know what... He writes bigger puff pieces than PFW has ever written.
Right. Well, that's... Beyond the fact I can't imagine anybody even wasting their time doing research on what content each, you know, website, as a newspaper. But now, if you're in the web business, if you're in the, you know, sports web business or whatever, then sure, it's a good idea to go around and see how different teams cover different aspects of their websites. But if you're a newspaper reporter, why you would waste your time trying to monitor how everybody does the job on the website, what teams do what, that's a way. Beyond that, how anybody would ever say about any writer offering their opinion on whether or not a guy has a chance to start and say, I couldn't write that because that would be biased reporting. That's the most ludicrous statement I've ever heard in my life.
Yep.
That's not biased reporting.
You know, and on these blogs, you know, readers can submit their opinions, and, you know, most of them could care less from what I read. But one of them said, boy, sounds like this guy really tells it like it is. That's good. You know,
was that
it's a mailbag?
Was that tennis? Was that tennis?
No,
guy?
No. But it most fans, and from what I read in response to his little blog, most fans want solid content.
Right.
Well,
they,
especially
they don't
like Tom said,
fluff.
Around here, you get laughed right off. I mean, there's a lot of people that claim that they want more positive or more, you know, whatever. But they only want positive if they think that's. Right.
Legitimate.
Now, right now, the Patriots
earned.
Yeah, right. The Patriots are in the midst of one of the most successful stretches. I mean, obviously, in their history, it is the most successful, but really of any of our local franchises in a long time. So they've earned a lot of the positive press that they get. But if it turns around and they're going 5-11 3 years in a row, and believe me, when I was here in 2000. The Patriots fans weren't looking for us to write about how
and
great Curtis Jackson and Shaq Van Davis were. They weren't looking for that.
Right.
They were looking to find out why they were so bad and how they were going to get better. That's what they wanted to know.
And, you know, even in the bad times, Patriots Football Weekly, and you know, most of the stuff is, you know, just informational type stuff. But, you know, when you're writing about a game and the game was a bad game, you got to write it was a bad game and who had a bad game and why.
Apparently not for the Tacoma Times.
Well...
And to their credit, isn't that one of the
Seahawks haven't lasted a game in 20 years for that paper.
when you first pitched this idea to the Kraft family way back in 1995, wasn't that the one thing that they stipulated it needs to be as close to down the middle as you can possibly
get? We both agreed that you got to call it like it is, or else people aren't going to pay for it. And you know, a lot of people who don't know think that we give it away. You know, Patriots.com obviously is free, but the newspaper, nobody gets it for free. You know,
not even close.
Season ticket holders, what, you know, it's a paid newspaper. It's on newsstands. It's distributed by USA Today on the newsstands.
Why are you giving me that look?
Because you're making it sound like it's too expensive.
Well, I give credit to our readers. They are clearly top-notch Patriots fans. It's not a cheap publication.
Well, compared to the others,
right?
It's not as expensive, and it's much more value.
It's a good publication.
You get the yearbook free. You get, you know.
Right.
It's not like we give it away.
No.
Like these magazines where you...
Not to make money.
Right. You get six bucks. Or
not even count when the writers take us out of it. It's the best team publication in the league just by the presentation.
Right.
I mean, it looks good. It's got a lot of information in it. And I'll go on record as stating this right now.
Jason, good.
Nice. Tom looks like he wants to go through the glass.
This guy's getting button happy over there.
Well, at least he's finally got the mics on.
I just want to go on record as stating this right now. If myself, Andy Hart, or Paul Perillo were ever fired from this job, we could get a job for the Tacoma Sun-Times in about 3 seconds. That's what I...
I'm not moving to Tacoma.
Yeah, I have no real interest.
I think it rains a lot here.
No, we know it rains a lot.
I just thought
every
I'd bring that
day.
Up at the top of the show because, you know, it's just...
Like I said, I thought that the two things that were strange is, one, that he pulls a Jay Mariotti and runs to the NFL and tries to see if he can get someone in trouble, which I think reeks of third-grade behavior.
Now, if he was on the phone right now, he'd probably say, that's not what I was trying to do. I was just trying to get clarification on the protocol.
And luckily, I'm not
I find it a tough stretch to say that you were trying to do anything but point it out to the NFL.
But here's the thing.
Because you know that the NFL is not monitoring an
and he doesn't know this. What if it wasn't our policy and Tom did get in trouble?
Right.
You know, he doesn't know that.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to check with the guy first, you know?
Before you get him fired?
You know, he's just a guy trying to do his job, you know?
And make a buck.
So it smells to me like another one of these writers who are starting to get a little fearful that teams are taking more of their content and doing it themselves.
But Fred, don't you think the ironic thing in all of this is that I was talking about officiating in the playoffs, and what team got screwed more than any team
Seattle.
In the Super Bowl was the Seahawks.
Yeah,
yeah, but so, he's not allowed to write that up there.
Yeah, right. According to him, that game was called right down the middle. What a great game that was.
You know, and it's
celebrating
funny.
Their rings.
It's funny, even the Seahawks, and I gave this to Stacy, who's from Seattle. He's a big Seahawk fan, grew up a Seahawk fan. The Seattle Seahawks produced a DVD, which they created, you know, with help from NFL Films, and they gave it away to all their season ticket holders. It was sort of like a season type of commemoration thing. When they get to the Super Bowl, they said, you know, it's got the NFL voice, and there were factors beyond even the Seahawks' control, and they show the yellow, you know, officials' flag on the field. I mean, this is before they had their little sit-down with the NFL.
Reporter go crying to the league about that?
What about, you know...
Do you think that he called the league to get their impression of the DVD that the Seahawks sent out?
No, because he'd be afraid that the Seahawks would get him in trouble.
No, because that would be biased reporting.
Right.
He's a whiny little...
So, I thought that...
Give the number in case he's listening.
Well, the number is 508-543...
You call up and talk to us directly.
508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482.
Mike Sando.
Mike Sando. Give
us
a call.
And he's a Patriot hater, too, so all Patriot fans should email him.
You know.
Tell your friends.
You don't have any, you loser.
No, I mean,
Claire Farnsworth and all you other guys.
Apparently, he's been covering.
Listen, we got good stuff
here. I
like
Claire. Let's not lump Claire in with this loser.
I'm a big fan of Claire Farnsworth. He was here when the Seahawks played here, was it 2 years ago, I think? Maybe 3 years ago. Two? When did we play the Seahawks?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Claire Farnsworth actually was here for the whole week and, you know, was in the Patriots. Very, very nice guy. Big fan. Big fan.
But this guy supposedly has been covering the Seahawks since 98. So, you know.
I'm sure he's good at what he does. I just don't agree with what he did in this on this blog.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'll see him in a couple years when we go to Seattle. We'll take care of it then.
You know, Mike Sando won't be seeing him no more.
All right. So I thought that would be interesting, and you know whether people want to comment on that or not. That's I just thought I'd bring that.
I'm sure that they don't, but we got our little rant off our chest.
We'll get now criticized for talking about.
Can you please talk about the Patriots and their 4-deep depth chart?
All right.
No, we can't. Not according to this loser.
So speaking of the Patriots, any news?
Yes. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Out of Tampa.
Yes.
I've decoded a message sent out by Jay Fiedler's agent. Apparently, Jay has narrowed his list of potential teams to three. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New York Giants, and another team that has asked to remain anonymous.
Is that unbelievable?
I got to think that there's a chance.
There's a chance.
I say there's a 99% chance
Jets
that's the New England
Jets
Patriots.
Don't need a quarterback. So
the Jets already have
100.
The Jets already have 14 quarterbacks.
That would be the other team you could put in that code.
Jay Fiedler is very... well respected among head coaches in the NFL.
Well, I know that Belichick speaks very highly of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has won a lot of football games with subpar talent around him,
I would disagree with the talent part, but right. I would agree with the coaching.
Well, I mean, he had the running game.
The Dolphins have
and
been
he had
among
Michael,
the,
but he never really
a,
had
yeah, but he's
wide
not a,
in a Fred. Great defense.
But, Fred, he's not a 16-game starting quarterback.
No, right. But he's that's a perfect backup.
Right, but that's what he was put into in Miami.
Exactly.
Was the wrong role for him.
And
he's,
I think
the epitome of a backup
I think dealing with that situation, I think, gained him a lot of respect among coaches.
Definitely among Bill. He specifically went on the record when somebody asked about Fiedler and controversy, should he be a starter? And he said, I don't know about all he wins.
Yeah.
He was just pointing to the fact that he wins.
Yeah.
And
I'm
he clearly likes him, and I think he's another guy that you could very easily add to the list of Roosevelt Colvin and Larry Sen, all these guys that he's been very praiseful of in other uniforms that when he has the opportunity to acquire them, he acquires them. So I'm still going with Jay Fiedler as a Patriot before training camp starts.
You know, what's funny, too, is we have our current poll, our online poll on Patriots.com, is who you know asking fans who they'd like to see as Tom Brady's backup. And we list Matt Cassel and then a bunch of veteran types, Jay Fiedler, Kerry Collins, Tommy Maddox, and Jeff Blake. Those are the choices. And right now, Collins is winning by a lot, and Fiedler was like third.
Really?
No, Cassel was winning by a lot, and then Collins, and then Maddox and Fiedler were like even.
Well, I think
and
Collins is a more physically talented player.
But I was surprised not to
you
see.
You think Collins would ask Fiedler. For more money than Fiedler?
He doesn't have the mental. He doesn't have it up here to play for the Patriots. Just get right. him right out of your minds right now.
Well, I don't think
I
he'd ever come
to New York, but I've watched him in New York for 3-4 years. He cannot play on this team. I will guarantee it.
I also think he still fancies himself a potential
right.
starting quarterback.
That's why
Fiedler knows he isn't.
I agree with the first part. I'm not sure about the second part, but I agree with the first part. The other part, Tom, I don't know if you remember when, I want to say 2001 maybe, remember when Fiedler first took over that job?
Mm-hmm.
And he beat out Damon Heward,
right.
who eventually came here in 2001 as, at the time, Bledsoe's backup soon became third string when Brady had the strong camp and beat Heward out for backup. But do you remember the game? There was a couple of games early in that year when Fiedler first took over. He was winning games in dramatic fashion seemingly every week.
Right.
He had that big touchdown run where he got killed against the Raiders. Wow. He got crushed as he got into the end zone. And there was a big picture of him on the cover of Sports Illustrated, like with his hand over his head. He was just in the end zone. Well, Bledsoe and Brady got the cover of that Sports Illustrated, and they put it in Heward's locker for the next week. I remember walking in the locker room, and Heward, like, it caught him out of the corner of his eye, and he looked, and he was like, he had a couple of expletives in
those,
crinkled it up, but it was a very funny.
If Heward had any stones later in 2001, absolutely. He would have put a photo of Brady. Tom Brady in Brady's locker.
But as we remember, Heward was instrumental, as that kind of liaison between mm-hmm. Brady and Bledsoe back and forth with Charlie. He was a good sounding board, and that was probably a very underrated key to that whole dynamic.
Hey, what's the deal with Charlie? He under a little
Notre Dame.
Little hot water because he's telling his bigger prospects that they should narrow down their field of agents before the season starts.
Is he coming under fire for that?
Well, I don't know.
I knew the story that he was doing that, and Brady was actually involved with Brady
Quinn.
Well,
technically, you're not. Well,
see, you can't pick one.
You can't right. pick one, or you lose your. Or
you're ineligible.
Yeah.
I understand that. I know the rules.
Yeah.
Well, why is Charlie Weiss under fire?
You can't even. It's not you can't sign with one. It's you cannot have
you
any sort of agreement, even wink, wink, whatever. That if they find that out, you're ineligible.
I understand that.
But you can
doesn't
make
mean
up
that
your
you
mind.
Can't decide right. who your agent is.
Sorry, I didn't know you were the expert of all things college football.
What?
I didn't mean to stop on your
whatever. You're right again. Whatever.
Sensitive Paul again.
I'm just asking why Charlie Weiss was under fire. That has nothing to do with
because
whether or not you
he
can
might,
or cannot
he might
pick
be leading
agent.
His guys down a path that could hurt them if one of them slipped up and named one as a, you know.
Okay, so that answers the question.
Yeah. But apparently other teams do it, so it's not
well,
that big a deal. Everyone doesn't.
Everybody has an agent before that they're done with their – I mean, the top-notch guys, first-round picks, they all know who their agents
no,
are.
I mean,
Fred, he's the expert.
Paul, the whole reason for Charlie saying that is because he's trying to avoid the usual distraction
which
of
is,
agents banging on these kids'
absolutely,
doors.
Absolutely, which is why if I was anybody looking into the Notre Dame program, I wouldn't have Charlie Weiss under fire. I think what he's doing is actually a good thing.
No,
I
think it is, as long as it doesn't get the kid in trouble with the NCAA.
But God forbid we should analyze the situation in any way. You know, we don't want to do that.
What?
I don't even know what he's talking
about. Who's not analyzing? I brought it up.
Andy knows all the answers.
I know all the answers. Paul's on. I know the rules. I know the rules.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, stop talking. I know the rules.
Why is Charlie Weiss under fire? Because well, you can't say who your agent's going to be.
No, you can't even have a wink-wink. You can't have anything.
Yes, but you can pick who your agent's going to be. You just can't say who your agent is. I mean, there's nothing the NCAA can do to Brady Quinn for Brady Quinn deciding Donald Yee is going to be my agent. Unless he comes out and says, Donald Yee is going to be my agent.
If they can link him anyway, they can take away his eligibility.
Right. So there's no way they can possibly tell Brady Quinn what he's thinking.
If both the agent and the player deny it, no way they can prove it. Unless there's some paper trail.
Right. Or unless...
Unless you do something wrong.
Right.
And if you do something wrong, you deserve to be in trouble.
Right.
I mean, if you do a Reggie Bush and you take a house, that's what happens. You get in trouble.
Yeah, but that's extremely different than just agreeing that he's your agent.
Right, but you don't have to tell them that you're agreeing he's... You can pick your agent. They don't have to know that you've picked the agent.
All right, let's move
that's
on
all to I'm saying.
Out there.
Another topic...
Actually, it's
not. And, you know, this gets... This
says he's leaning toward Donald Yee.
You know, another... All right.
Yeah, it's not in writing, but if they start looking, that's a problem. You don't want them looking as closely as they might
be. I have no problem
looking.
With it as long as I've done nothing wrong, is my point.
The,
I've done something wrong, then no, I don't want them looking into me.
Speaking of...
if you've picked an agent, you may have done something wrong.
I don't even know what this argument's about, to be honest with you.
It's bottom line.
It's semantics.
Paul knows everything.
Bottom line is I'm wrong. Because...
No, the bottom line is you have to know everything all the time.
I'm cast as the know-it-all, but I'm always wrong. So I don't know how I'm the know-it-all.
All right. Another thing that I thought was interesting, you talk about teams, you know, being negative and... Even on NFL.com, I think they're starting to report, you know, when guys get arrested, when guys, they don't have to. They don't have to put that on the front page of NFL.com.
But if you want to be considered objective and covering everything.
That's right. That's right. But,
you're
gonna
keep
up until recently,
websites
did not do that.
It happens so often that if the user goes there and he knows stuff is happening, he's not getting it there. He's going to stop going there because he knows not all the information is available.
I agree with
let's
that, and so does the league, and that's why they do it.
Let's go back to the insulting the intelligence of the fans, which is what I got in trouble for. Isn't that insulting the intelligence of the fans? I mean, people are getting arrested and you're pretending like it's not happening.
No, but they are putting it on the...
I know, but I'm saying before.
It would be insulting the intelligence of the fans if you didn't do it. But on the front page of NFL.com right now, as we speak, is the fact that and this isn't really negative. I'm sure they're going to look at this as a positive, but they've moved amphetamines and methamphetamines to the steroid category, where the fines are, you know, even stricter than if it was just marijuana. So they've moved those drugs over to that other category, which is enhancing drugs. And I just wanted, you know, to get Andy's take on that.
Why are you pointing at me? I don't take amphetamines.
Well, no.
I don't even really know what an amphetamine is.
As far as player...
He didn't say he didn't take steroids.
Right.
He said he didn't take amphetamines.
Oh, we're talking about amphetamines.
The enhancing drug. Do you...
I mean,
do you agree that...
An amphetamine, is it a specific thing?
It's an amphetamine, speed.
Or
it's
is
speed.
It anything that gets you going?
It's an upper.
It's an upper.
Yeah, anything that
gets you stronger.
But that's what I mean. Could you take something like that or a different... Something that gets too much Mao Hung or whatever that tea is that gets you
ephedrine
going.
Who's
Hung?
You can't take ephedrine anymore. It's illegal.
No, but the tea. They have the things that are now natural ingredients that do the same thing. If you took too much of that, could you fail a drug test because of...
I think so, yes.
See, that's...
So,
makes it tougher and tougher. And yet, still, cocaine is not on that list, right?
It is not.
Lawrence Taylor dominated a decade hyped up on cocaine, but it wasn't considered
Thomas
a performance
Hollywood
enhancer.
Henderson had it in his pants during the Super Bowl.
So...
But you just can't take some little green pill that baseball players have been taking for 200 years and no one's ever gotten hurt from it.
I agree with Andy.
Okay. What about you, Paul? Know it all.
I don't know a lot about drugs. I've never taken any.
Although,
know
Fred,
nothing about them.
When they start testing for HGH, which is what everybody is taking, then perhaps maybe we'll get somewhere.
Isn't it just an endless battle? Because as
it
soon
is,
as they
is.
Take...
Oh, there's no question.
The chemists will come up with the next
Fred,
thing.
You know what's... You know what I compare it to is the DirecTV. You know how they have those illegal cards?
Yep. Right.
And people, and then DirecTV finds a way to zap them. Then the people who sell the cards find a new way to get the cards out. It's kind of like that. That the people who have the cards are always one step ahead of DirecTV.
Yeah.
They'll always be ahead of the test.
It's like the radar detectors in cars. You know, the police find a way. You know, they ban this one, but then they come up with another one, and they have a way to block that, and then they just...
The bad will always be ahead of the good.
Yeah, the guy who invented THG and the Clear and all that has come out with something new now. It's like old but new again. It's some drug that they start in the 40s and he's learned what. So they're all, and it's always better that way because the guys with the egos want to be on the bad side so that they can be one step ahead and be that rebel and get the, you know, the money's there. They're always, it's, that's always a more appealing side, I think, for these genius chemist types than just working for, what is it, Dick Pound and the World Anti-Doping Agency?
It's like the computer hackers, too.
Dick Pound.
You know, if they could only use their powers for good, but, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. But all those guys would rather do that because that's cooler than just going to work for Symantec or whatever those companies are that come up with antivirus.
GHC.
What's that?
Oh, no. GMC? What's the health food store that you guys go to?
I don't go
no
there.
No one goes there because
it's most expensive place on
$80 higher than anywhere else.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to go because they stay open.
What do you order them online from Mexico?
No.
Where you get it?
That's.
I did see him on a website one day.
Those were for illegal drugs. Not
that's okay.
Not weightlifting drugs.
Why don't you just keep talking? We'll get some
drugs.
Good stuff
anyone
here.
Out there, go bodybuilding.com. Don't buy anything at GNC. It's the biggest ripoff in the world.
Bodybuilding.com.
I'm now doing a promotional spokesman things here on the show.
That's all right. Okay. All right. We got a lot of emails.
He's killing me.
Which is good. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Apparently, our listeners have found football things to talk about. So
we have two after the first 20 minutes.
We'll get to that. How's the solitaire game going?
All right. Falling right into the role.
Do you have any breaks? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Articles are limited to the first 500 qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the Fields of Athenry come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twelman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twelman!
Keith Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
Okay, and if you're in the geographical area of Gillette Stadium, big Revs game tonight against Red Bull, right? Where's Red Bull out of?
FC Dallas tonight. Red Bull's on Saturday.
Oh, FC Dallas.
Way to go, marketing genius.
And I guess, but you can buy a Red Bull when you're here, right? We sell Red Bull?
Of course. Yes. And I think that's still allowed by the NFL to drink.
Okay, yeah, probably.
I just want to say the Celtics are playing the Revs in soccer. I'm taking the Celtics.
Okay.
I say Pierce scores 3 goals.
Well, it's a big game, and Clint Dempsey, the new Cup star, the only American to score a goal
off his own
in the World Cup, is on the Revs. Clint Dempsey, he'll be back tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Is he back tonight?
He is back tonight.
He announces it and then checks.
He's back tonight.
Will he be back tonight? So tickets start at $18, and the parking is free.
Tickets start at just $18. That's correct.
That's right.
Bring your can you bring umbrellas? It is raining out right now.
I think for the Revs you can. I'm not sure.
Oh, you can't for the Patriot game?
No. You're not allowed to bring umbrellas into that stadium.
Yeah, which is a very good rule, by the way, because there's nothing worse than getting behind someone who has an umbrella. But I've
Because when Paul's sitting down, he can't see over the umbrella, and he sure as hell ain't standing up.
I've noticed a ton of umbrellas at baseball games, and I'm surprised that they would let that go in Fenway Park.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Or any other baseball park. I mean, it's not... You know, just singular to Boston. I think it's. I don't know. At the risk of Andy getting mad at me again, I think it's ridiculous that you'll be able to have an umbrella, and you know, someone behind you can't see.
Right. I agree. Plus, you can use it as a weapon.
Well,
yeah.
That's probably the bigger reason why they're banned from Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Luckily, at a Revs game, there's no one behind you, or in front of you,
oh.
Or to the left or the right.
Oh.
Get a section to yourself.
Everybody has a section.
Some big World Cup action July 1st. A lot of games. Big slate.
My team's still alive. Portugal.
Portugal, yeah.
What, now, why are they your team?
I just picked them out of the blue.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm a Brazil fan now because they have a guy named Fred. That's just his
name.
That's
true.
Fred scored.
Just Fred.
I saw Fred scored a goal, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It was so
funny.
We got
to get Gary to get some clips of that for an opening.
Yeah.
Because the ball bounced off the goalie.
You want the English
call
or the
Spanish
call?
Fred was just standing there.
Both.
As long as Fred is
you get that
fully
right
audible.
I got a Fred!
Yes.
Goal! All right. Should we get to some emails?
Sure.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Anything else before I get to that?
Training camp opens July 28th, Gillette Stadium.
Yep. First day of public practice is July 28th. The full schedule's not out yet. But it ends around August 17th, so you want to make sure that you plan your trip in between those dates.
True.
More two-a-days this year than usual.
Okay.
Certainly appears that way.
Yeah. So, all right. CR writes in. He says he loves the show. I think either last week or the week before, you guys were talking about bets. Such as that replica jersey one, if Dylan gets 1,000-plus yards.
Before.
I can't remember who brought it up, but someone on the show said that earlier in the year, Tom said, if that bum makes the final roster, I'll kiss Andy Hart's naked ass on Patriots Today. None of you could remember who the player was, but I just happened across a PFW podcast, February 15th, 2006, in which Tom made that statement. I was reminiscing in the crappiness of the Super Bowl. Anyways, just wanted to inform you guys that bum that Tom was mentioning was Zuriel Smith.
Oh, okay.
I noticed he's still on the roster with jersey number 19. Any thoughts on his chance of making it on the final roster? Not that I want to see Andy's naked ass or anything, but a promise is a promise, Tom.
You will not be seeing Andy's naked ass.
Okay.
Yeah, and the bet is still on, though.
It's right? Still on.
Well, first
I just
of all,
and he's not wearing, just as a point of fact, he's not wearing number 19. He was not even at minicamp. He has no number. He's on the roster listed with no number.
19, I believe, is Eric Davis.
Eric Davis, yeah.
With a K.
Okay. And then he has a scheme question. The Patriots have been a big screenplay team for a while now. The Patriots have used Falk, Pass, Patrick Pass, tight ends, and some wide receivers in the role. And now you guys have said that Maroney has been great at catching the ball. So will he be the main screen target this season? Well, at least until he gets to be the feature back. But even then, would he be the largest screen threat on first and second downs? Does Ben Watson edge him out for those screen receptions?
Yeah, I think Graham and Watson are still the bigger threats for those early down screens. They like that play a lot. They were practicing it in minicamp.
Right.
We noticed it. The one that first drew all the praise in Atlanta
But I think
what's
I think
not to like. I mean, they average probably about 30 yards a play.
I think you will see Maroney
on
some screens. But the problem with him getting screens is Fault comes in for third down. So he's kind of your pass catching back. So you have to wonder if Dylan's your primary ball carrier and Fault's your primary pass catching back, how many times is he going to be out on the field to catch the ball?
But it's another case where if Maroney can get on the field
you make
with
up a
some
play
carries
and
in pass protection, you know Dylan's not catching a first-down screen. Maroney could if he's out there. If he can get on the field, it adds another weapon to your offense.
And I could see him being part of the passing game. I'm not going to say specifically on screens just for the reasons Andy and Tom just said, but I could picture him being more of a factor in the passing game on his limited reps than Dylan would be. Because obviously Dylan's an afterthought in the passing game.
Okay, Bill from Raymond, New Hampshire says he wishes we were on more and often and longer. He loves the show and anything Pats. Anyway, last year the offensive line was injured with most of the starters out for a long time. I think that with the new guys they drafted for the O-line and the experience the rookies got last year will make them very deep this year. And I believe they could have a dominant running game. What do you guys think?
I agree.
I think the injuries to Light and
you don't
Copen
think that Cager playing every game is going to help him in the long run?
No, I agree.
I don't know. He wasn't at many camps, so I'm not sure he's going to play every game.
Playing from the start is going to help him.
I think their offensive line will be vastly improved.
Absolutely.
Year.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got Maroney pushing Dylan, I look for. A much improved. Well, that's not saying much.
Worse.
It's not going to get any worse.
But it's going to be back to where it was in 05. I mean, 04.
Why do you say that? Well, I think there's a chance you open the season with Russ Hochstein at center. I don't think he's that good. And Brandon Gorin at right tackle. I don't think he's that good.
Why? You don't think Cager will play right tackle?
I don't know. He wasn't here.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay. I agree. They're going to have 3,000 yards rushing.
How do you know he's not injured?
I mean,
I would assume he was injured, and that's why he didn't take part in minicamp. Now, Bill didn't say specifically. He just said the only person who was unexcused was Branch. But how do we know why Cager wasn't playing?
We don't.
So what if it's a serious injury?
So now you're back to Hochstein and Gorin as starters. I guarantee, like, Light is back, but I don't think his strength is a
don't you think it would have
grading
out there somehow as
run blocker
or somebody would have dug
no,
that
nothing
up.
Gets out there around
when did we find out that Dan Copen's injury was as serious as it was?
But we knew he was injured.
we pretty much know Cager is injured right now because he wasn't taking part in minicamp. But
well,
we don't know the extent.
Well, no, we could have been other reasons. We don't know the reason he was out.
Well, he was working out with the injured players
in the
bubble.
It might be a worse argument for you to make that he'll be better at playing 16 games if it's other reasons.
Bottom line is, why is it that much better? You have Neil Mankins, but still your guards.
I think Fred's saying if the injured guys come back.
Yeah, and I
okay,
think,
if Copen and Cager are back, I think it's better.
If Copen and
Light are sold that they're going to be out there.
Even Neil gets better with every season. I mean,
I think he is what he is pretty much.
Oh, I think he's improving every season.
A little bit, but not to the point where all of a sudden he's the best guard in football and he's going to, you know, add 500 yards to your running game.
I'll be honest with you, Fred. I don't know who's good at guard. I just listen to what people tell me. I don't really watch
guard.
That's
really all you can do.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
But the results are
if they're getting a lot of yards up the middle, I'm figuring the guards are playing well. If they're not,
if they're averaging more
the
than 2 yards
collapsing
a carry,
up the middle, I'm guessing the interior linemen are doing a good job in pass protection.
But Paul mentioned Deion Branch. Interesting thing about the running game would be if this did get ugly and Branch wasn't here to start the season, then you're going to have teams crowding the line of scrimmage. It's going to make it harder for, you know, Dylan to run with his back turned to the line and things like that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this Branch thing shapes out.
Okay, Justin from Alaska. He says, signings. How close are we to signing Jackson and Maroney? I'm assuming they are waiting for other higher price picks to get signed first. But
haven't heard any
news?
I haven't
Jackson
heard anything.
Jackson is irrelevant. He's a second-round player. He has to pretty much.
Yeah, but he might be a second-round player who fancies himself a first-round player.
Where they pick, I think it's hard for these guys to hold out because of the slot.
Plus, just so you know, I think his agent is a complete butthead because I watched him a lot at the combine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I
didn't know he was his agent at the time. I just watched him because he was a total idiot and was making an ass of himself in front of a large group of people.
Maybe there will be a problem.
He was just an idiot hanging out with some ditzy blonde who looked like the girl you squat with every day at the gym. And he was an embarrassment.
In Fred's defense, he hasn't been to the gym in 3 months. So, come on, Andy. Stop stretching the truth.
Still recovering on our tennis match.
Oh, yeah. True. For those that don't know, Fred kicked the crap out of Andy.
Hey. He didn't kick the crap out of me.
6-2.
I was happy with my performance.
Well,
it was took the old guy to do something.
I can't say
time.
That I was happy with mine, but I did what I had to do.
I would have to say if they rematch later in the summer, I think Fred would win by a bigger margin.
If Fred walked back and forth in the stadium to his car every day for a week to prepare, I think he beat him 6-0.
Conditioning was a factor.
I was struggling.
No question.
Well, it was 100
pointed out.
There's the understatement.
As Andy and I pointed out at the time, Fred would have a ball in his pocket and in his hand, and he would go and chase the third one down just to get a rest.
It was 100 degrees out.
It was hot.
It was 100 degrees for both of us, Fred.
You're 28. I'm 62.
I think in terms of the draft picks, by the way, and signing, I think the new CBA is going to go a ways to kind of eliminate, not that it's going to completely eliminate, but decrease potential holdouts a lot. Because right now, it already was, the money was pretty much slotted. So that was never really the issue. It was always the terms.
Right.
And now the terms are kind of dictated by the CBA. So you're not going to have a lot of situations like Benjamin Watson a couple of years ago where the agent refuses to sign a six-year deal and the team is insisting on it. Now, if you're in the top half of the first round, it's 5 years, right? Or is it six?
I don't know.
And then the last half of the first round, it's five. It's one less, whatever it is, six or five. And then it's fourth round pretty much everywhere else, right? Four years everywhere else. And so you're not going to have really any leg to stand on holdout-wise when the salary is slotted and the terms are dictated by the CBA.
Well, the thing is, it's 4 years maximum.
Maximum.
But you can hold out and say, I want to sign a three-year. And then the team...
That's why I said it's not going to eliminate them.
Right.
But
a report came out this week that the Patriots have the most money under the cap to spend. So, you know, obviously they have the money to...
Where was that report? I didn't see that.
Was it Reese? I think it might have been Reese.
Oh, I think it was Pascarelli.
It was someone. I remember reading it somewhere that right now, currently, they have the most money to spend.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know why I look at...
What about Deion Branch?
Salary cap thing so skeptically. Because I don't think that people
We really didn't talk about this, right?
I agree with you.
Did we talk about Deion Branch last week holding out?
I wasn't here.
On minicamp?
Probably.
Yeah, we talked about
sure
we had
did.
A whole minicamp wrap-up.
Because I don't
the worst
see,
show.
We talked about Branch.
I don't see the public hue and cry about, oh, they got to pay this guy that I've seen with Seymour or Brady.
No.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
He's not Richard Seymour.
So is he making a mistake?
Not yet.
Deion Branch.
Yeah, not yet. I agree. Not yet.
He's coming
close. I think
he's
if he thinks
close.
If he tries to do exactly what Seymour did, thinking it's going to work, then yeah, I think he's making a mistake.
Well,
that's basically my commentary.
He wants Reggie Wayne money, and there's two things about that. One, if you just look at the stats, Wayne blows him away. Two, the Colts wanted to pay Wayne to keep that offense, to keep that passing game together for as long as they can because that's their strength. They win with Manning and those receivers. So it's a different situation. Here in New England, they win Super Bowl titles with David Patton as receiver. So it's not the same thing. They're not going to give Deion Branch what Reggie Wayne is making in Indianapolis.
Should he get at least what David Givens is getting in Tennessee?
Yeah.
It's funny because I said at the time that I wouldn't even be willing to pay Deion Branch what the Titans paid Givens, and I wouldn't. But now you're probably going to have to.
Right.
Because at some point the market dictates – if you want a guy, you're going to have to pay him something.
And I was looking at one of the message boards, and someone made a point, you know, at some point, I understand the way the Patriots work, but at some point, don't we have to pay somebody? And an argument
can
be made for that.
Yeah, and they've chosen to pay some guys now.
Right. But
you know, and not just Brady and Seymour. I mean, Vrabel got a pretty lucrative extension last year.
They overpaid Jarvis Green.
You know, Jarvis Green got a pretty lucrative. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody has, but... I've made that argument a lot, and at some point you got to pay somebody.
They have the money to spend.
Some of the guys have now gotten paid. It's not every guy has left.
Let's see. Justin also has his top four reasons why he thinks the NFL is what it is today. Number one, this is in no particular order, however, Pete Rozelle. I don't think you can underestimate what Rozelle did for the growth and expansion of the league under his leadership. The merger took place... and the cash cow was born, television deals. I don't think that the NFL would be where it is today had Pete not been able to execute the television deals that he did. The exposure of our great sport using the teat that America suckles off was a great thing. These are just two of the many things he was responsible for, but I believe the two big ones, but I think that it took a visionary like Pete to get that done. Number two.
How do you spell teat?
T-E-E-T.
Really?
Yes. Monday Night Football, number two, taking the NFL into the prime time and making it a staple of American life was a great stroke of genius. I think this was very influential in the minds of Americans for the legitimacy of our sport to have football during prime time. Now that slot has moved to Sunday night, but I think ESPN will still get a sizable audience on Mondays, especially since Paul McGuire is gone. Number three, NFL Films. I can say that for a fact that NFL Films was a major reason that I fell in love with the NFL when I was a youth. The now institution painted our great sport into the illustriousness that it enjoys today. Baseball almost comes with a natural history attached to it, a result of being our national pastime for so long. NFL Films gave the NFL that same feeling with volume after volume of historical narrative in the pioneering use of slow motion. Young boys saw heroes on the gridiron, and it was very influential. Why hockey and basketball haven't formed their own versions, I'll never know. It's interesting why they haven't.
There's more for the NBA than the NHL out there in that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah, it's neither one of them approaches baseball or football in that regard.
Paul Brown is the final reason. There are some great coaches in football history, some even attached to its genesis, like Papa Bear Hallis, but I feel no coach has shaped the modern game more than Paul Brown. He started full-time year-round coaching. He organized the first real college scouting, first to use intelligent tests on players, started using film clips to study plays, started calling plays from the sidelines using alternating guards, designed the first passing pocket blocking scheme for offenses, and perfected the art of route running. He shaped the game we know today, and I don't think he ever gets credit for it aside from the football junkies like us.
I want to chime in here. That's a good point he makes about Paul Brown. Sid Gilman, Don Coryell, Mike Martz, Al Saunders, they all stem from Paul Brown's offense.
Bill Belichick.
We've seen some things like Sports Illustrated has done recently, naming the best coaches of all time. Any ranking that doesn't have him in the top five is an absolute joke, in my opinion.
Well, another thing, you know,
I would agree.
It's not just the on-field contributions. You know, this whole thing with the Patriots bringing back the concept of team to football and all that stuff. I mean, Paul Brown's the guy that said, when things are good, we did it. When things are great, they did it. And when things are bad, I did it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Belichick obviously learned that, you know, and coaches learned that from Paul Brown. That whole idea of never take the credit, share the credit for the good things, take the credit for the bad things.
Yeah, that was a good point by Justin.
So,
I didn't know the part about alternating guards.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
pretty much. And if you talk to Bill about Paul Brown, too, he'll tell you, I mean, almost anything that you can really imagine in terms of the genesis of any kind of offensive or team-oriented way that things are done, Paul Brown began. And he actually began a lot of them in the old, whatever it was, AAFC? What was that alternate league that Cleveland won like 4 years in a row, and then they put him in the NFL, and they said they'd get killed, and then they won the NFL two years in a row?
Yeah. It's interesting. Peter King has a good book on the history of football.
It's Peter King.
It's like a coffee table size book, but it's very...
It's a coffee table book.
Very
a coffee table book that...
You know, it goes back to, you know, the barnstorming days and Walter Camp and all that stuff. So, good stuff. All right. Anything you'd add to the reason why the NFL is the success?
One other thing
today?
I would add, the 16-game once-a-week.
I was
going
to say, that's the biggest thing for me.
Schedule.
Right. I despise the Yankees, and I look for their scores every night. But when they win, I just say, darn. And
you can truly dedicate yourself to football and not give up your life. You can have a huge party every Sunday, tailgate, do whatever you want, and it doesn't really infringe upon the other aspects of your life. If you want to watch the Red Sox 162 times a year, you really have to commit yourself.
Right.
You have to give up other parts of your life. Football, you don't.
I mean, the makeup of the sport itself is just perfect.
And one of the things that we forget is, you know, before pro football was big, which you could argue happened mid-60s when Joe Namath started, you know, college football was huge.
Right.
I mean, you know, national pastime was always baseball from a pro level. But when it came to college, football was king.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You think of those guys in the raccoon jackets with their little pennants and, you know.
Raccoon jackets?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of know what he's talking about, those old things.
Yeah.
They didn't even really have bleachers yet. They'd be standing outside the field.
Not
at
Northeastern.
A raccoon jacket?
Yeah, they'd have raccoon fur jackets.
Okay.
And we all know that the first football game ever played took place at Tufts University.
Is that right?
Beating Harvard.
Ever?
Yeah, there's a little fight, dog fight that goes on.
Yeah,
because
I heard it was
Princeton-Rutgers.
Princeton-Rutgers,
6-4. You remember the big thing in the Globe like last year, and they've kind of proven that it was Tufts-Harvard, I believe.
I disagree.
You're wrong. Plus, Dan Kraft said you're fired.
just because I think Andy's got a...
I'm telling you. Rocky Carzo wrote a book about it.
Rocky Carzo?
That's his name, right?
I don't know who that is.
The football coach and athletic director at Tufts?
What are you asking me for?
Well, I'm not worried about Dan Kraft. I already insulted him right in his face.
You're still here.
Yeah. All right. Johnny in Frederick.
Reminds me of a joke I heard about little Johnny at a golf tournament. I can't tell you, though.
You know, I guess that's Sirius. One of the stations on Sirius is Classic Radio. They have the old-time radio shows, and it's always got guys talking. Johnny just got back from, you know.
And they have the old guy voice, you know, talking about like.
And then they have the old commercials. Lucky Strike makes fine tobacco. It's good for you. You know, it's
funny.
They really used to promote cigarettes as good for you.
Yeah. It expands your lungs. It's a fresh feeling.
It expands your lungs.
You listen to this radio station?
Yeah, it's good stuff sometimes. the Whisperer or the Whistler and Dark Shadow and Lone Ranger.
Amos and Andy?
Yeah, they have all of that.
They don't really have Amos and Andy.
I don't think they've...
War of the Worlds? Isn't that where War of the Worlds started?
Well, that was a show. It was a reading by...
Oh, when people really thought it was real.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mostly...
I can't believe you listened to that.
That's good stuff. Why is that unbelievable?
I just find
anything
that
happens before 1985, you have no interest.
That's
in.
Not true.
How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been?
That's so deep.
You know, you got to know history.
Right, he's shoveling it.
All right. Anyway, Johnny in Frederick. A lot of people in the classic they were named Johnny.
Why?
I don't know. You know.
So it's taught you nothing.
Series,
all this
one series.
Yeah, I don't forget anything to back that up. Just saying.
I forget the name of the guy, but he's an insurance adjuster, and they call him the high. Oh, I forget, but all he does is like something happens, and he works for this insurance company, and he goes and finds out like if someone's trying to defraud the insurance company. And it was a show on the radio.
And you listen to it?
The high expense report guy. He has very high expense report.
It's good sound.
I don't know about that whole last part, but
movie.
You had me. The whole beginning part, you had me. Like the dark shadow. Is it dark shadows?
The shadow.
Yeah. I mean, I I've heard a lot about that stuff, but I never heard any
what
of it.
What evil
I
lurks
mind.
In the heart of man, the shadow knows.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind listening to that like once or something.
But you're
like
in the car, and you can listen to Larry Johnson talking about.
Sure, certainly wouldn't be listening to that.
Right.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Found another button.
You know, it's not like I'm it's 10 o'clock, I got to go listen to classic radio. You're in the car, and there's not much on the radio.
In the car an awful lot.
For a guy who lives 5 minutes away.
But there are such things as weekends, you know.
You just go out and sit in the car and listen to Dark Shadows?
Sometimes I do.
Sorry to hear that.
All right. Getting back to Johnny's email. He says,
Johnny, you know, they all speak all Johnny back then.
Since it's the tween time between camp and camp, nothing going on, how about a true-false football-ish question?
Fiction.
Ready?
Fiction.
True or false? You'd take the same style of job but higher paying by about $50,000 a year with the Edmonton Eskimos of the CFL.
True.
False.
False for me.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't go live in Canada.
Edmonton's not that hot. I mean, cold.
No, it has nothing to do with hot or cold, man.
But he was going to say,
what are we living
Canada.
In?
True.
Bahama-like paradise here in New England?
That's what
I mean,
I'm saying.
It's cold here, but I like
it. You know you're a mercenary.
You know me.
You have to admit, you're not going
like,
to move 20 miles away from your family.
Right. Now,
okay, so
it would have to be incredibly...
But if your family was in Edmonton, you'd move
it would have to be incredibly worth my while. $50,000 isn't going to do it for me. It's not going to change my life.
$50,000
$200,000? Okay, now I'm talking. Now I can live in a whole
paid
different level,
Fred. $50,000 more.
Yeah, $50,000 more than what you have now.
I wasn't listening.
This job pays
pretty
good.
Surprise.
I'd say I'm going true. I'm in Edmonton. I'm covering the Eskimos.
I'm not.
But
I'm
you can do that because you obviously don't have any.
You don't like your family.
Any attachment?
No, they're either dead or they don't talk to me. So I'll take Allison and my mother and off we go.
I need life altering money to.
What would Allison
to live somewhere so far away from my family?
Edmonton, it's not like you're in the middle of the wilderness.
Along with my mom.
I mean, you know, there's stuff there. It's, you know,
where is Edmonton?
It's Alberta.
It's in Canada.
Western part of Canada, right. Not far west, but
no,
yeah,
not like Vancouver.
Right, definitely right. Western Canada.
Okay.
Do you true or false? You, like I do, love the fact that Curtis Martin will never get a ring.
Oh, that's false.
See, that's false.
I love
He's
Curtis.
A great guy.
I like the fact that the Jets won't right. win a Super Bowl, but I think I would love to see Curtis Martin get a
ring. We found someone who doesn't like Curtis Martin.
I love Curtis.
That's amazing.
How can you not like Curtis
Martin? I've never met anybody I had a bad word to say about Curtis Martin.
No. He's a good guy.
Now you have.
Well, you haven't met him.
He's just on a bad team, that's all. Behind closed doors, true or false, Belichick and Pioli decide important personnel decisions by best of two out of three Indian leg wrestling.
I don't even know what that means.
And I'm not going to comment
Indian
on either
wrestled?
One of those two on the air.
Have you ever Indian leg wrestled?
No, what is that?
It sounds exceptionally.
I lie this way. No, I lie this way, and then you lie that way.
I'm not lying next to you anywhere.
And then you cross legs.
Next thing you're going to tell me is you're naked when you do this.
Over. You've never done that?
No.
Really?
That sounds like something they do at those truck stops.
Sounds like Jay Mariotti does it.
Something well, you have to be nude,
like
but that's besides
like
the
high school wrestling team did.
Yeah, was this an initiation? Were you nude and had like a banana up your...
What?
Did you have to spread peanut butter somewhere?
Oh, my God. Four, true or false? You'd rather spend an hour with Lori than with Brady.
False.
Oh, that's true. I like Lori.
Yeah. Rather be with Lori Baranski than Tom Brady for an hour?
I'm
going false because we spend an hour with Lori every day at
lunch.
Well,
that's true, too.
To me, it's all about who's buying. If Brady's buying, I'm with him.
We don't ever get an hour with Brady, so I take the hour with Brady.
Do Indian leg wrestle with him?
No, I do that with Lori.
Oh,
hey now.
Only 10% of Pats fans can recite the starting roster of all 22 positions.
I can't.
That's probably
the starting
true.
Roster.
Only 10%? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to do.
Who decides
yeah,
who the starter is?
I think it breaks down when you get to offensive linemen. You know,
I mean,
fans don't really. I remember as a kid, you know, I was a Patriots fan and a Jets fan. I didn't know who the offensive linemen
were. Before I started working here and I was actually covering the team.
How many teams does this guy follow?
I grew up in New Jersey.
I know, but you like the Broncos, Jets, the Patriots,
I was,
you're all over
in
the place.
In 1969, I lived in New Jersey when Joe Namath did what he did. How could you not be a fan?
I lived in New York. I don't like any of those teams. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm finding it
fascinating. Paul's a big Joe Namath fan.
I love Joe Namath.
I know.
I was number 12.
Wondering how many teams you've actually liked in your life.
Well, I would say that when I was a kid, I was a Jets fan. And then as I got older, I moved back to New England, was a Patriots fan. But then I kind of adopted in the 70s, late 70s, the Broncos. And then when they got Elway, it was like, forget it.
I think most New England fans have a second team.
I like
they were
Randy
so
Gratis
bad in New England, you
no
had
doubt.
To pick
Randy
another
Gratis,
team.
That's absolutely
that
true.
Butt whooping the Cowboys put on them in the Super Bowl.
I hated it. I cried. I was very upset. They didn't come to play. They got dominated. You know, they just didn't have the talent. What can I say?
Super Bowl 12.
All right, next team.
All right. Six, you secretly await the call from Sports Illustrated or ESPN after they've read one of your articles. Tom sure does. He waits for Tacoma to call.
See, no, I would leave to take one of those jobs, but I am a little bit more realistic than to be secretly awaiting a call based on something I write.
Plus, one of those jobs, you could still live here, right? And then you just travel around,
That's
do your craft,
too.
Come home.
Plus,
I
heard working for ESPN isn't the greatest thing in the world, but you're talking now, as Paul would put it, you're talking about
life-changing
money for doing the exact same
Plus,
thing.
Plus, you go to ESPN, you could have your own show in a month and be on three networks and who knows what. All of a sudden, you're Paul, Kornheiser, those guys.
Kornheiser.
They're everywhere now. They have like six shows.
Kornheiser was huge before he ever came.
But he's bigger now. I mean, he's on Monday Night Football. He has PTI. They put PTI in SportsCenter.
Right.
I mean,
he's become a national person.
He's like John Madden. He's everywhere.
He was well-known. Tony Kornheiser was well-known among media types. Mm-hmm. You know, he was well known in the industry and in the business nationwide. Now he is well known.
Gave him that
kick. The 10%. You didn't have to be in the 10% of people that know all 22 starters to know who Tony Kornheiser is. Now everybody knows him. He's
one step away from doing like athlete's foot commercials, like Madden does.
I consider Kornheiser the mecca. Like that's where everybody's trying to get to.
You mentioned Sports Illustrated too. I don't know. I mean, Peter Gammons has been in the news. He had a brain aneurysm yesterday and had some surgery and. You know, he's still in intensive care, and some of the stuff that was written about him today, I didn't know, he had, in the 70s, he actually left the Globe for a little while and worked for Sports Illustrated.
Well, I heard that yesterday.
But I didn't realize, not as a baseball writer, he covered hockey.
Yeah, I saw
he
that.
Covered
yeah.
college basketball. I was really surprised by some of that stuff.
That goes
with
your theory that a sports writer
should be able to do
right.
everything.
But listen, Fred, how could we work for Sports Illustrated? I mean, they got talented guys like Scoop Jackson. People like us
Scoop Jackson works for them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Can you believe it? It makes it.
He
makes
is
you,
as bad as
you
get.
Though you appreciate,
maybe he'll call.
Though you appreciate the listeners, emailers, ask PFWers, 90% of them, in your opinion, are clueless as to the interworkings of football.
Tom, I wouldn't say 90%.
90 might be high. It might be like that Jose Canseco, you know,
right.
Whatever. 90 might be high, but a good percentage, I would say.
I think all our fans are tremendous.
But we love,
them all.
We love them all, and without them, there'd be no mail.
We have to decipher here. AskPFW fans aren't all Patriot fans. They're just the people who write into AskPFW, right. So there's a difference there.
Yeah.
See how I saved my butt there.
Let's see. John in L.A. Wants to give a shout-out to Peter Gammons. You just brought him up. He said he went to college with Peter's niece, Debbie. So he kind of knew... her, and just wants to, you know, send a shout out to him. Gets into a bunch of young guys, but I want to get right to his fact or fiction.
Okay.
All right. He says, all right, this is fact or fiction. Ellis Hobbs will claim one of the starting corner spots regardless of whether or not Ty Law is signed.
I got him in the Pro Bowl, for Christ's sakes. Fact.
I agree with him.
I'm couching it a little bit more. Regardless of whether Ty Law is signed, I'm saying that's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. Well, he says it is fact. He will.
It is. He's right.
Watson will catch 60-plus passes and 8 touchdowns this season, making Peter King prophetic 1 year late.
I'll go fact.
I'm going to read the whole sentence, I'm going to say fiction. Because I think he might catch 60 balls and 8 touchdowns, but he ain't going to be a Pro Bowler with those numbers.
Oh, they said Pro Bowler?
No.
That's what Peter King said.
That's what Peter King said.
Oh, okay.
No, I think he could catch. Yeah, I'm with Paul.
Okay, well, the emailer says it is true. It is fact. C, Jonathan Sullivan and Lakeith and Smith will both make the 53-man roster.
Fiction.
Sullivan won't?
One of them won't.
Says both.
Okay. His answer is false. Smith will make the practice squad, or Sullivan will get cut.
I think that's plausible.
Mm-hmm. Dan Klecko will make the 53-man
false
roster.
Fiction. False. Wrong.
I'm going to go fiction.
Whatever starts with an F.
This will be the fourth year in a row we're all wrong about that.
Well, it'll only be the first for me, so I'm going strong. False.
His answer is false. That sound you just heard is the collective sigh of Patriot Nation at his inevitable release and the simultaneous gush of Jet Nation suddenly embracing the pipe dream of a Pro Bowl D-Cleck coming home.
That's a good D-Cleck. Point. Hey, and I love Dan Klecko, too. I mean, he's a great guy to talk to, but you got to say it like it is.
I think that sound you heard was Patriots fans slapping themselves in the forehead, realizing they spent money to buy a Dan Klecko jersey. Those were big at one time.
Jonathan Sullivan passed the conditioning test the first time out, thereby avoiding the Antoine Smith Award.
False.
I'm going to say fiction, and I think that's a very interesting thing. Very interesting dynamic.
How about we'll never know?
Well, we will know if he's not practicing on the first day of
practice.
But
he'll be lumped in with the 7 guys who are still hurt.
I have never been here for training camp. I obviously have no idea what you're talking about.
They have
about.
A conditioning run the day before the first practice that we're allowed to attend. Mm-hmm. And
no, we're not allowed to attend the conditioning run.
I understood what you said, Paul.
Listen to what I said.
Just keep talking.
Anyway. The guys that aren't practicing are either injured or they failed the conditioning run.
Okay.
If Jonathan Sullivan is not practicing, it's going to be because he failed the conditioning
run. Okay, I got you.
Now, you're not going to be able to report that.
Right.
But that's
how
will
you know? What if
he
got hurt in between camp and
we won't be able to report
that's
they
what
want.
That's what
they want that type of...
No, I know
we'll
report it on the web, but we can say it here on the radio show, which still doesn't make any sense.
Well, we'll have to couch it, not to say, you know... Maybe he failed a conditioning run. You can't say for sure what he did because you won't know for sure.
Michael Felgro called him a fat tub of goo.
Okay. Jason, ready for another break?
We are. We'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady won! watches a 60-yard
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographs are limited to the first 500 for qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the Fields of Athenry come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twellman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Clint Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are you gonna do, Sting?
All right, feel like I'm gone.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska, hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No. Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain, or whatever.
Sweet. And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
That was a dynamite open, Jason. All right. Yeah, great. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. And as
Fred, have you seen X-Men 3?
No.
I hear it's good.
I saw it. It was pretty good.
Yeah?
I just like Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Did you see The Ringer?
No. I want to see Superman,
too. I hate Halle Berry.
I want to see Superman.
You don't like Halle Berry?
I hate her.
Oh.
I would definitely agree in terms of personality.
Who cares?
All that stuff.
She's not looking to spend an hour with her.
I mean, that other one. The other one that's going out with Brad Pitt. What's her name?
Angelina
Jolie. Angelina Jolie. I mean, shut up. Stop talking. I just want to look at you.
See, that's exactly the way I feel about Halle Berry.
I think they're very similar.
I think she's yeah, I agree. I agree with Andy.
I listen to Howard Stern, and they have this new thing. They roast each other, and they had the Artie Lang roast. Artie Lang's one of the guys in the studio, and, you know, Artie drinks and everything. One of the things was, Artie, if your lungs get any blacker, Angelina Jolie will adopt it.
I like that.
But I'm bummed.
I like that.
It was good.
I like that. But Halle Berry is a very, very annoying
is she?
Type, yes. Right down, like, she was the first black Oscar winner, female Oscar winner. And, you know, she's, like, crying. I mean, obviously it's a huge moan. I'm not trying to take that away from her. But for her to insinuate that it was because of her, like, you chose me, I think was the words, you know, that you chose me for this. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, it's circumstantial. You happen to win.
The whole Hollywood, they just believe that there's just,
well, she's,
you know.
You know why I hate her. She has type 1 diabetes, and she claims.
Halle Berry does?
Yeah, she claims.
I didn't know that.
No, you don't know it because she claims that she found an herb, and now she doesn't have it anymore. Well, then arrest her. She's got a cure for diabetes. Arrest her. She's not letting the rest of the world know.
I don't think she ever had it.
Well, that's what I'm just. I just hate these Hollywood types.
They just think the world revolves around them.
Yes,
it's like, you know.
I agree with Paul.
Because we go to Africa and adopt a couple babies.
That
was
the thing that really got me at the Oscars. I didn't even know the diabetes thing until you told me about that.
She's so full of herself. I can't stand her.
And I know a lot of actors and actresses are like that, but. She, for whatever reason, I mean, she's great to look
George
at.
George Clooney,
I think
good
she's
actor, but, I mean, the guy
there's another guy. There's another guy. And you know what I really like when they, you know, when the actors and actresses, they come out and they have a political cause, and they throw on the black-rimmed glasses.
Right.
Somehow this is making me a little bit more scholarly.
Right.
Who's the guy you don't
Julia
like?
Roberts has to come out with the glasses on.
Who's the guy you don't like, Paul, that you said that was full of himself I didn't know of? I think
Brian Morey.
He's a Stand By Me. What's his name? The older guy in Stand By, Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, my God.
Hates Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss is the most pompous, pretentious piece of crap that's ever graced this planet. I mean, great actor.
We did
great
a
actor.
Radio show together one day during the
year. Oh, my God.
Went off on Richard Dreyfuss, something fierce.
What has he ever done to make him pompous, though?
Oh, my God. He cannot recite a line in any of his movies without you saying, wow, does that guy love himself?
I can see that.
And he was in Jaws, which is without question one of my top three favorite movies of all time. And he was a key member of that cast.
But does he do the whole political thing? Or
he does everything. Everything. Did you ever see Mr. Holland's Opus?
No.
That's his life.
Mr. Holland.
That's a movie on his life. I'll guarantee that's exactly what he's. I mean, I know everything. And
I saw What About Bob?
Yeah, that was funny.
Not necessarily the same kind of movie.
I'm just saying I saw it.
Anyway, how do we get on that? Oh, Halle Berry. Yeah.
You mentioned Halle Berry.
X-Men. That's how we got on that.
Yeah, Andy mentioned
pretty good. Andy saw X-Men.
For some I want to see that.
I saw the Family Stone and the Ringer last week.
Yeah, Family Stone. My wife watched it. I won't watch
it. It was so.
When Fred goes out into a car.
She
thought it was great.
It suspended believability so bad it offended me.
Yeah, she thought it was great. I knew.
Not great.
As soon as I saw the cast.
10 minutes in.
I wasn't going to watch. I'm like, I'm leaving. She goes, where are you going? I'm going downstairs.
I'm going to
listen to Johnny.
I'm going to the car to listen to Sirius.
Johnny's on the radio again.
No, those kind of.
And the boys are back from Europe.
You know, those kind of. Oh, I just can't stand that crap. Even like The Big Chill. Like a lot of people like The Big Chill.
See, I didn't like The Big Chill either.
I didn't either.
People don't act.
You don't know what that is, do you?
I think I have the soundtrack. I think it has a really good soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack is excellent. It's all the classic
I've never
rock.
Seen the movie, but I have the soundtrack.
Sympathy for the Devil and all that stuff, you know.
I remember in college, my girlfriend looked at me so incredulously when I told her I had never seen The Big Chill. Like I had said, you know, you'd never seen Jaws. Yeah, you've never seen The Godfather?
Never seen Braveheart?
The difference is The Big Chill sucks.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Then I saw it because she made me. We rented it.
It was like a trend. Why?
It was a trend when, you know, I was into the reward after the, you know, the movie and stuff. And I under false pretenses, I watched it. And, that's it? I was like, you know,
right.
I was like Fred after Dave Dudek's Kermit the Frog impression. That's it? That's what I was missing?
I watched it because so many people talked about it. And I was like, that's all you got?
Yeah, it's anyway, those kind of movies, you know.
See, I don't.
That
I don't
romantic
really,
comedy, so.
I don't mind them as bad as most people. I mean, the romantic comedies are definitely the chick flicks, and I've seen more than I would be willing to admit about, but they don't generally bother me that much. This particular one, The Family Stone, 10 minutes in, you knew exactly
makes
where it was
mad.
Going,
yeah,
and
just,
it makes you mad because it couldn't happen the way it ended up happening. You know, they basically, they you know, the there's two brothers and two sisters, and one brother, they don't know the sister at all. Neither one of them know her at all. All of a sudden, she's introduced into the movie, you know, and the brother that's with one sister switches to the other, and the other brother goes to the original, Sarah Jessica Parker. It could not happen. There's no way that could peacefully happen in a family where the brothers just switch girlfriends. It can't happen.
In the middle of it, the mother dies of cancer.
Right. Which, and the mother's Diane Keaton, who is one of those Richard Dreyfuss-type actors that I hate.
She's another one.
I got stepbrothers that switched wives. Not both, though. Just one wife went from one to the other.
Wait a minute. You have stepbrothers.
I stand corrected, then.
It didn't happen peacefully.
If they're your stepbrother, then they switch with your sisters.
This was peacefully, though?
My stepdad's sons.
Okay.
One was a wife of one son. They got divorced, and she's now married to the other son. And I don't think the two sons talk anymore.
Okay,
so there you go.
Now, that's the part that I'm saying was unbelievable.
All right. In other words, you wouldn't see this on Everybody Loves the Raymond.
The Raymond?
Yeah. All right.
All right.
It's the best part of the show. We have to move on.
I'm going
to
be accused of being the View from Men here in a second. All right. Back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Reverend Ray writes in.
Hey, the Rev.
Reverend Ray. Says, since Rev there Run? Was a blurb in the News Blitz about Patton, I'm betting you guys will get a large number of questions about Patton returning to the team, as if this would be some kind of
possible
playing player signing a la Oliver Hoyt. Okay, enough of the cynicism. I am actually really optimistic about the upcoming season. We have a lot of question marks, but I feel pretty good about the apparent answers that are there. I like where this team is going, where this team is and where it's going. Also, I'd like to point out that I feel better and better about the PFW team. Tom Casale took some getting used to.
Hey, Tom, you're winning them over.
I'm an acquired taste.
But now you realize that he's better than Brian.
Now, come on now. You don't kick the guy.
As you say.
Talk to Brian
kick
last
him.
Night. He's in the doghouse.
For what?
He dropped off Alex at a pool party without putting sunscreen on him, and he came back like a lobster.
You know what? He deserves to be in the doghouse for that. That's a major faux pas.
Jeez.
Especially for Joe sensitivity.
So my wife called him. Apparently, a home remedy for a kid with sunburn, you take some white vinegar and put it in a spray bottle and just spray it on it, and it takes the sting out.
I'll tell you what, that vinegar is like that Greek movie with the Windex.
Windex?
That cures anything. Any type of cure has vinegar.
I got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I usually get one bad burn a
white
year.
White vinegar. So. Anyway, questions from the Reverend. He says, lately I've been hearing reference to a big nickel package. I'm guessing that in such a case, the extra DB is a safety with some coverage skills. What exactly would be the advantage there?
Well, in theory, it's a safety with coverage skills, but the first time around, it was Victor Green.
Well, and I don't think...
Apparently, he lacked coverage skills.
I like Victor Green.
Yeah, the thing, I'm not positive on this, and Andy, you can help me out, but I don't think necessarily that it had to be a safety, like a third safety. I think it was the size of the players is why called it a big nickel. Victor Green was a bigger guy like Rodney Harrison and Lawyer Malloy.
But generally that'll be a safety because there's not a ton of big corners.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but it could be a guy like Tabucky Jones.
And wasn't that who they were using? Like,
yeah, well, that's
the linebacker, and they were putting in another safety. Isn't that what they were doing at minicamp?
That was more of like a goal line. Different big nickel was like first and 10 in the middle of the field. They could put in an extra safety.
They came out with an extra safety on the field, and I think it hurt them in terms of run stopping.
Surprisingly, they sucked.
Now, would they be doing that because of teams like the Bengals and the Colts, you think?
Yeah, I mean, there could be. Yeah, it would be a way to get a more athletic guy passing down, but still be able to play against the run.
In other words, they're making packages to get James Sanders on the field. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I guess. See, I was kind of envisioning Eugene Wilson, Tabucky Jones, and Rodney Harrison, later in the year.
Yeah.
Finally, Wilson and Jones, both former corners, not run-stuffing safeties out of Fresno State.
You really
Fresno
got a problem
State.
With James Sanders.
No, I love him.
You just don't like
him. You should have heard me praising this guy. Remember when I did the whole thing that
Andy
he's a guy you're
going to
like better in your system than when, when you're deciding if you want him in your system? Then he got hurt. He disappeared, and I'm on to a new boat.
And he has a new flavor of the month, Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson. He lost his chance.
The Reverend also says, who decides the music that gets played on game day? Crazy Train, O Fortuna from Carmen Burana are great for pumping up the crowd, but whose decision is that? Do players have any input? Do things get tailored to specific players, a la Mariano Rivera and Enter Sandman?
Yes.
Well, players do have input. I don't.
Gary's in charge.
Gary does a lot of the in-game entertainment in terms of musical selections, but the players do let him know some of the different stuff that they would like to hear played, and I think he does his best to accommodate.
I know Brady.
I know McGinnis.
Jason would know. Jason, why don't you chime in on this?
What was that?
Ownership has a voice in that also. They pick some of the music, but the players do give a lot of input for pregame.
Yeah, and I know that's
a public enemy.
McGinnis, public enemy? Public enemy?
We need some more public enemy.
Follow the drip. Follow the drip.
I don't think that'll be on.
I know that McGinnis used to give Gary a lot of CDs for pregame stuff that Jason just talked about, and I assumed that they were just kind of like mixed CDs, not necessarily of one.
Christian Fourier also.
Fourier was big in that. I never really saw Fourier involved in those conversations. Izzo all the time.
Yeah, Izzo. I know Brady has given something about coming out of a timeout. He really liked a certain song. He wanted it out of every timeout or something.
Yeah, but see, a lot of that, you have to be careful.
Every time we play Beast of Burden, we score a touchdown. I don't know.
So why would you play it on every drive?
I was just going to say. Because it just doesn't really work.
Well, the thing is, when you
score it, no one would care.
Yeah, eventually you're not going to score, and it's not going to be a thing.
But Gary's in a tough spot because, you know, where the player might want a certain song, it's not may not necessarily be the best song to really pump up a crowd. It's
well, a lot of the songs that the players do are like what Jason said is pregame. You know, when they're out there.
Who cares what they're playing then?
Well, that's for the fans. You're not. Right. There's no one in the stands.
Right.
So
that's
you're
what
just,
I'm saying.
You're worried about the players.
Who cares what they're playing?
But it definitely in baseball, the hitters usually pick their music when they come to the plate. Closers pick their music. It was a big thing with Papelbon where they were trying to decide what his was going to be when it became evident he was not only good but going to be the closer for a while. And I think they finished with that and Let the Bodies Hit the Floor or whatever song.
I never heard of any of the songs, so I don't know.
I love that song.
I believe that's Papelbon.
Not a big.
You had a song, Tom, for you. What would it be?
Probably Iron Man.
Iron Man. Santana. Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
How about you, Andy? Oh, Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Yeah, sung by Elizabeth McPhee? Right?
No, mine would be More Human Than Human. Zombie or Black Zombie, whenever he was in that.
Any Rob Zombie song can be used. That guy's phenomenal.
Well, isn't that...
Well, it starts out with a girl grunting like she's, you know...
Oh, easy.
Orgasmic, and then works into very heavy metal.
And Paul, you would do an NSYNC song or Back Boys?
No.
Backdoor Boys?
Not really.
What song would you...
I don't have one in mind.
Come on, Madonna.
No.
No?
No, you love that...
It would be an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Probably Let's Groove.
Okay. All right, that's good.
Sing a little bit of it.
I can't sing Earth, Wind, and Fire. What do I look like?
I don't even
look
Bailey. What is left? I don't really know if I know it. Let's Groove.
It's an old song. It's before 85.
Well,
you don't know
it. How
does
it go?
How does it go?
I can't sing it. Come
on. Just do the words.
Groove tonight.
Let's groove
Share
tonight.
Share the spice of life.
Oh, I've heard tonight. That. I got enough from Tom to get it.
Let's groove tonight. See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
Different than Get Down Tonight? Is that them too?
No, it's KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh.
All right.
Stop fiddling with the buttons.
What's this?
What's that?
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
But nobody chose that.
Tom, you're a metalhead?
Not a bad song, though.
Get me more human. More human than human. Can you get me more human?
How about Detroit Rock City by Kiss?
I love Kiss. I like Kiss.
Kiss is my favorite band of all time.
I'm a big fan of Kiss. And Detroit Rock City was a great... at the time, cassette.
That's what I call his boy Lester, Wicked Lester.
Wicked Lester?
Yeah, you know what Wicked Lester is? That's the band Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley were in before Kiss.
Who's my boy Lester?
The
pitcher.
The pitcher for the Red Sox.
Oh, he's my boy Lester?
Yeah, you like him. I was calling him Wicked Lester last night.
I like guys that come up out of the minors and win three out of their first four starts. Yeah.
Let the kids pitch.
As long as they don't pump twice after getting a key strikeout.
I was just saying he was your boy.
I'm like you, Tom. I tend to gravitate toward people with talent.
Right. And he had some wicked stuff last night, and I was calling him Wicked Lester.
All right.
All right, Eddie's from New York City. He says he's the world's only New York Yankee and Patriot fan. He never misses a show. Thank you.
There's more of you out there than you think.
And I already don't like you.
One, would you agree that if the newly acquired players like Maroney, Jackson, and Thomas play up to their potential, that this could possibly be the year, for the first time in a long time, that the Patriots' offense could be better than its defense?
Patriots' offense was better than its defense last year.
With the aging linebacking core, Harrison's possible return delayed, and cornerback questions, this might be the case.
Patriots defense might have been better than its offense 2 years ago. What?
Yeah, I think probably not, but I think last year,
close.
Definitely. It was very close. It was as balanced as you could get, I think, in 2004. But last year, I don't think it was close. I think the offense was much better than the defense.
What happened? Let's just say Tom Brady was better.
Right. Over an 18-game stretch, the offense, I thought,
carried it more
won more games than the defense won.
Tom Brady.
No, the offense.
They had no running game.
Yeah, well, there's receivers that have to do stuff, too, Fred.
Tom Brady. Two, like the rest of Patriots Nation, I'm eagerly awaiting the news that
you know what that's all about. You know what
idiocy?
It is? No, you know what it's about right now? One of the key factors is now a Titan, and the other one's holding out. So there's nobody he can point to right now that were the key receivers, so it's all Tom Brady. Branch will be key when he's back in
camp.
Very
good point by you, Andy.
That's what it is.
All right. I'm listening to you guys all season saying how bad the running game is, and I'm agreeing with you.
But Brady wasn't throwing to air and then running down the field and catching it like Mr. Perfect.
It's hard because the defense stunk, too. Whole team stunk, and I'll show you how good the coaches are.
Like the rest of the Patriots Nation, I'm eagerly awaiting the news that Ty Law is back with the Pats. As a matter of fact, I believe his return is crucial to the team's success this year.
For you, got
to
get the big money guys.
Am I putting too much into his return? Considering the influx of questions by fans looking for updates on his return, I have a feeling that I am not the only one who feels this way.
Well, you're definitely not the only one. But, yeah, I think...
Do they need Ty Law to be successful this season?
They don't need him, but your team is
going to
be better with Ty Law.
I'm talking...
Is successful winning the Super Bowl?
Getting to the championship game.
No. I got Ellis Hobbs in the Pro Bowl. I
think they can make the playoffs without Ty Law.
I think they can make the playoffs without him. I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl without him.
I don't think they can win the Super Bowl without him.
I think you guys are crazy.
Oh, we forgot. James Sanders and Ellis Hobbs are Pro Bowlers.
No, what do you mean they can't win the Super Bowl without him? Haven't they already won a Super Bowl without him? I just don't get it. They need Ty Law to win the Super Bowl.
No,
why?
They have not won a Super Bowl without him.
Why?
He was on the 2004 Patriots. He was on all three teams that won the Super Bowl.
He was on the team, but he was injured.
And he played a lot of games. They were 6-0 when he was in the lineup.
Would they have beaten Denver with Ty Law?
Possibly.
Come on, you're nuts.
I can't really...
They don't need Ty Law to win the Super Bowl.
All right, answer this then. If Ty Law was on the team all year, would they have been in the wild card game?
No, Paul, I admit that the team would be better with Ty Law. I'm just saying they don't need him to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I think they do.
All right.
I don't think that they get a bye in the first round without Ty Law.
See, Paul, how could you say that one guy, they need one guy to win?
Because I think when you're that good, you can be one game away.
Yeah, I mean, there could be another guy. They need a good cornerback, is what
I'm saying.
All right.
I didn't say it had to be Ty Law.
Okay.
The question was Ty Law.
You need a better cornerback.
I think their secondary is a little thin.
Well, he's the option that's out there.
And I think to further illustrate it, I think that the current state of the secondary, once you lose one or two players, which you inevitably do, is going to be that much worse. I don't think they have enough depth in that spot to overcome. You say the loss of Samuel and or Hobbs.
6-10 this year?
No, I didn't say that. I said they could make the playoffs. I think they'll make the playoffs again. Right now, I don't see them as being a Super Bowl
I think
favorite.
Every team's got its flaws, so anything
now,
can
could
happen.
It all come together and they make the Super
Comes
Bowl?
Comes down
sure.
to coaching.
Well, then why do we have the show?
I think they're the best team in the AFC. I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
There you go,
books.
Tom. Don't let these guys bring you down.
No, they're not. I'm off
I
them.
I keep reminding
I'm
you.
Off them,
don't
Fred.
Let these
I'm
guys
off
bring
them.
This is the guy who just 35 seconds ago said they stunk last year in all aspects.
I'm talking
and it just shows you.
Baby Chad Jackson. He didn't get alone. He wasn't able to do anything last year. He started midseason. Now that he's been
Hobbs
here a
in
year,
the Pro Bowl,
now
baby.
Going.
Ben Watson, Pro Bowl caliber.
So what was
Put
better?
Him in the Super Bowl.
What was better last year, the offense or the defense?
I agreed with you, the offense.
Okay, and what improvements have they made to the defense since last year?
What improvements? I think Hobbs will be better. I think Sanders will play a part. I think Rodney Harrison's coming back. I think DeBucky Jones is great, like Andy thinks. Put him in the Super Bowl. Beisel will
he
be better.
Doesn't even believe his own crap.
Beisel will be
thank
better.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Brable back to the outside. I just named 100 things. How many?
There you go.
To go. Come on.
I resign. I'm just going to keep all of the last five things that you just said in mind as we continue on this conversation.
Anthony from sunny Boynton Beach, Florida writes,
Anthony, what about your defense?
Do you think the Patriots will give Deion Branch a raise and pay to get to report to training camp on time like they did with Richard Seymour? And do you think the team will sign Ty Law if he comes down on his asking price of $10 million guaranteed?
Yes. Well, he's coming down on his asking price for somebody. It's just how much?
I have no idea what his asking price is. So,
this is one to me. Fred, says Phil from Austin. How about this for a challenge on a day when even hardcore Patriots fans are probably thinking more about the Red Sox? Tom Casale accepted.
Pick your best baseball lineup and manager from among current members of the Patriots roster. For example, Tom Brady might be a good choice for a catcher since he was one in high school, but would you want a catcher with a sore knee? How about Teddy Bruschi? Rodney Harrison would be my choice as manager. I'd hate to walk back into his dugout after not running out of pop-up. Your lineup. Well, we're not doing that, Phil. All right, let's get to the next one. Sorry.
Wow.
Although, I'll just throw that. Who do you think, forget about, like, whether they played in college, just from what you know of them as a Patriot, who would be the best baseball player out of the Patriots?
Brady. Because he'd be the best at anything.
At anything?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to take out the fact that he was a legitimate baseball prospect. Patrick Pass was, you know, also. It's hard to just eliminate that.
Who would be the best hockey player?
Patrick Pass is regarded by the coaches as the best athlete on the team, by
really?
The way. Yes.
Wow. And the biggest.
Wow.
The best hockey player?
Who would be, like,
Brave. Who cares?
Brave. I don't know.
Hockey's stupid.
How about basketball?
Watson.
Watson.
Kevin Falk.
Watson.
Watson.
Kevin
Falk is very good in basketball, but he's small.
All right. Gabe from Trevo's, Pennsylvania, with the imminent release of David Patton from the Redskins. What is the likelihood that the Pats pick him up?
I thought they came out and said they weren't releasing him.
Implications toward Branch's holdout.
How about we just agree we don't care about David Patton?
Hey, don't forget about those post-July 1st cuts. Yeah, coming
you know,
out.
Patton is okay, but, you know, we've looked at Patton at training camp, and, man, nobody does a drill better than David Patton. The guy knows how to look
Patton
good.
Patton would improve this court.
He knows how
and
to
I'm
look
sure
good.
I'm sure they'll have interest in him
not,
if he
once
gets
he gets on the field, he's not – he's okay.
Right. You know? He's a better option than Bam Childress.
But what if what if the Chiefs are sitting there going, boy, I really hope David Patton. I mean, it's not just because he gets cut, he's going to come back to the Patriots. There might be another team out there who's going to give him more
plus,
money.
Plus, like Andy just said, Washington has come out and said, now they may be lying. I mean,
and
they may
cut him at the end of
camp. And they may end up cutting him. But Washington has said that they don't have any intentions of cutting him.
I mean, when we lost Patton, it was hardly a blip. Right. And then when they had a press conference in Washington for him, we were like, what? You know, we couldn't believe it.
He's a guy.
You were right. We've been proven right.
I think he's a guy, if you put him with Branch and Jackson, I think you put him right there with Caldwell and Brown. I mean, he's another solid NFL receiver. He would help you, but, you know, I don't think he's going to have the impact, say, that we were just talking about with Ty Law. Where he's like one of those guys that may or may not have a difference in the amount of success you have. I don't think Patton's one of those guys.
Okay, let's see. Stan the Man says just a few things. One, Branch, in the stirring up of the pot, not making less than Wayne money, stirring it all up and wishing for people to overreact. Trade him if he's sitting out. Pay him what he wants. I think that is what Branch wants. I say chill.
I don't know.
Plenty of time to get things done. Do not overreact. Thoughts on that? Plenty of time to work it out or not. Just don't do something dumb.
I have no idea what you
what
just
is
read.
Something, what is something dumb?
I guess you cover every base in that, like, trade him, don't trade him,
who's
pay him.
Jumping off the cliff?
I don't know.
I'm saying
no one cares.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, Tom brought up Reggie Wayne a while ago when we were talking about this. The other part of it is I don't think that Branch's, and I agree with Tom, I don't think Branch's numbers really compare to Reggie Wayne's. But also, when you consider, Reggie Wayne is the second fiddle in that offense. And his numbers, Branch's numbers still don't compare. I mean, Branch is trying to get paid as basically a number one kind of guy. And his numbers don't compare to the number two guy in Indianapolis. Now, granted, that's a number two with an asterisk. I think Reggie Wayne is probably, you know, considered better than a number two, a traditional number two receiver. But I just don't see him, I don't see Branch being in that class where you, what is it, like $40 million?
Yeah, and the Colts knew if they let Wayne hit the market, his...
He would have
his numbers.
Yeah,
would have
gotten more than Gibbons.
Right.
There's no
way
doubt.
More. Right. But to be fair, Branch's numbers would probably be better in that system.
Yes.
So,
but I don't know if they'd be better than Wayne's.
But Wayne is also
no. I mean better than his. He'd have a 1,000-yard season, and he'd probably
well,
he'd
have
more
a thousand.
Touches.
He'd have a 1,000-yard season, but I don't know how much better his numbers would
no,
be
he
compared
be better,
to
better than
to Wayne. I don't think he would put up as good of numbers as Wayne has put up as the number two guy.
I agree, and Wayne has been much more durable.
Well, that's true too.
Two, a quarterback backup. I am thinking it may be into training camp as opposed to before training camp. Why? So that the team can see if Castle is really a number two, a true backup. If so, maybe a veteran backup at three is needed. If not, maybe another who is one that can play immediately. What are your thoughts? Also, Belichick seems to not like five quarterbacks in camp.
They already got to have an idea about Castle. I mean, you're not going to go into September wondering if Castle's going to be your backup. My thinking is they must already think that he can do the job.
Right.
Well, and the other part of that is that we keep saying, like, it wouldn't really matter because obviously you need a third guy because neither one of us thinks that Mortensen or Bramlett is a potential number three. Okay, but maybe it does matter for the Patriots because maybe Jay Fiedler isn't coming here if it's going to be as a number three.
Right, right.
Maybe, you know, maybe any of those other veterans out there say, look, if you can't guarantee that I'm number two, then I'm not coming there. I don't want to be in a situation like Damon Heward was 5 years ago where, you know, the kid beats me out and now I'm not even the backup. And I think that's a logical spot for a guy like Jay Fiedler, a logical mindset to take. Why would you do that without a guarantee of at least being the backup?
But I don't think they would ever guarantee a guy that he's the backup.
No, I know they wouldn't. I don't think they would.
I also think if you had to wait until training camp about Castle, then you already have your doubts as to whether he's your backup, and you need the other guy that you think can be the backup.
Right.
If you don't know by now that he's your backup, then there's enough doubt there to say, well, we need a veteran then.
See, I'm kind of taking that doubt out of the equation on Castle. Maybe they very, very well have decided, this kid has made enough progress, I'm comfortable with him as number two. But now getting that third guy maybe not be as simple as just saying because of what I just
said.
What
does it say about a guy, though, that wants the team to guarantee that he's going to be the backup?
You know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily – look, Fred, I'm not
– I guarantee I'm not as good as him.
This is typical semantics. I'm not saying if they're going to sit there and tell you, let's write it down, I'm guaranteeing you. If I'm Jay Fiedler and I'm seeing this guy develop, maybe that's not the place I want to go.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And what Paul is saying is if the money's right, the best situation is probably Tampa Bay.
Because well, I think he's crazy to sign with the Patriots anyway because he's going to have a better opportunity to play almost anywhere else.
Right, especially like Tampa Bay where you got Chris Sims. Maybe he struggles into the season, and then there's Fiedler sitting back there.
Plus it's warmer.
So I think if the money's right, I think Tampa Bay's the best spot for him.
Jay says he has to chime in about Halle Berry. He says there's no doubting her beauty. But there has to be something wrong upstairs when you look like her and both her husbands cheat on her.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
She's a strange egg, I think.
That's a good point.
All I'm saying is watch the scene from Monsters Ball.
That's overrated.
Oh, when, yeah.
When, as she says, look, he's taking me from behind with power. Hey, she said it on the soundtrack. I listened.
With power.
Then Andy had to run to the bathroom.
I was already done by then.
Watch this porno, for Christ's sakes. There's hot girls and pornos.
Yeah, but I can't just, you know, if Monster's Balls are sitting on the table, Dieter goes, oh, wait, that's a Halle Berry movie, right? If it's like Backdoor Princesses 5, Dieter knows what it is.
Sex Trek 3.
You should have her watch pornos, too. It'll help your sex life.
What? Let's see.
That line.
Anthony already.
I'm not sure she'd buy in. She already gets worked up. I rented some Heather Graham film just because Mr. Skin told me to. And it was legit, but Deidre was like, you rented this because you heard there's a lot of boobs in it, right? And I said, yes.
Let's see. Patriots Nation West, Scottsdale, Arizona. Any word on Patton? Has he been released from Washington?
Oh, no.
I haven't heard too much on him. I searched high and low for his jersey and finally had to special order it for my wife. Then he's gone.
Oh.
We could use his experience here whether or not Chad breaks out this year, and I think he will.
Well, I should chime in here and give people some advice. You should only buy jerseys that say, like, Brady and Owens and Moss. Don't buy David Patton jerseys because he could be cut at any time, and then you're stuck with a $100 jersey.
Yeah, well, I would.
Like your Dan Klecko jerseys.
I agree with your first example, but I disagree with your second, too, because those guys have been traded recently.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about that caliber of player. I mean, like, those were just the first two that came to mind.
I just wouldn't I wouldn't worry about if a guy gets traded because that's just life. I mean, guys change teams. I mean,
but that's his point. They're still good. They've been on different teams.
Five years, Patton sucks.
Right,
5 years ago,
Jersey World.
There could have been no one more entrenched in their franchise than Bledsoe was. And
yeah, but
gone.
You can still wear wear my Shaq jersey from the Magic with pride because he's great.
So can we say that Patton's status is Patton pending?
Yeah, no?
Sure.
That's never been used before. That's a new one.
I've never heard that. You'd like. But I think, Andy, Patriots fans don't want to wear a David Patton shirt if not still on the Patriots.
But that's because he's not good enough.
All right, they don't want to wear a Tom Brady shirt if he's now playing for the San Francisco 49ers.
I think they would. I think they would still wear Brady. I think you reach a certain level.
They have it, but I don't think they want to. I think they want to have their hometown guy. They want to have their player.
I think you reach a certain level of player where
no one
the
could like Bledsoe.
Still wears the
no one could like Bledsoe any more than I do. I don't
people
have a,
still
I don't
wear
have a
law
Buffalo
jerseys.
Bills Bledsoe yeah. shirt. Still like what?
People still wear law jerseys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen a couple of them.
Patriot shirt.
Yeah.
Because they like Ty Law.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that they don't have. There's no one that does that. I'm saying I don't. I think that what they would rather have is their guys in their
I
shirt.
I still see kids with Pedro Martinez Red Sox jerseys.
Right.
You know?
Because there's no shame still? In that. There's shame in wearing a Dan Klecko jersey after Dan Klecko
gets year
cut.
Old.
Or ever.
That's another thing. These writers, the hue and cry, they should applaud him. Make sure they applaud him. You know, the fans, make sure they applaud him.
Haven't read one guy say that to chastising anybody about what they should or shouldn't do.
Not all the more, all the build
all I've
up.
Read is people saying what they would do. I haven't read anybody saying what other people should do.
All the build-up. Go to Boston.com, front page.
Well, there's your first mistake right there. You go to that fancy newspaper that you think
Pedro
is
deserves
relevant.
To be applauded. Who cares? What do you, of course, you know, he deserves to be
right.
As if, like, you know, one
that's
person.
What Bob Ryan's opinion is.
If one person boos, good-natured ribbing. Oh, God forbid, Pedro's going to disintegrate. You know, he doesn't deserve that. Oh, come on. I can't stand when they get into that discussion.
So you're bringing
with Johnny
it up.
Damon. They did the thing, same thing with Johnny Damon. As if when he came
in
and
2 years,
booed him, oh, poor Johnny Damon, he doesn't deserve this. It's all been fun.
So,
it's just baseball. It's
so do you think it would be okay that, say, in 3 years, Tom Brady
you beat me to
signs
the
San Francisco 49ers, his hometown team, and he takes $60 million and one penny?
Okay.
So he got one penny more with the Niners, and then he comes back here opening day. You think it's okay if some people boo him?
Yeah, if they're having fun with it, why not?
Just couldn't be more diametrically opposed to that.
you think that they're booing him with a gun in their hand, and the next step is shooting him?
No,
they're just having fun with it.
I don't think. You ever see anybody exaggerate?
It's just
point?
Football.
I don't think that fan booing is the equivalent of having a gun in
so
your
the,
hand.
What's the big deal then?
I just think it's wrong. I think you should appreciate a guy for what he did for your
team. If you boo Tom Brady and you're a Patriots fan, something's wrong with you, in my opinion.
Thank you, Tom.
If it's good natured, you know.
This
who
is
cares?
My favorite part, the type of booing.
Here's where you have to be Dr. Joyce Brothers and decipher what kind of boo is it?
You need like a sound meter to measure the waves of the
when
boo.
When you boo, they want to rape their wife or something.
Oh, okay. This is two. Now you have a gun in one hand and you're going to rape his wife. Ray Rhodes' family is about to get a car.
And he's going
to
get blamed for it.
No, Paul made the perfect point. You got appreciating what somebody did.
That's all.
Brady and Belichick are the two guys who are above everybody else. You could never boo either one of those two because they brought the three championships here.
But Paul said if a guy boos, you know, if the whole stadium booed, I'd be like, what's going on? I would wonder what was happening. You know,
one person boo.
Why?
One person boos. No one's ever going
to
know.
Yeah, but oh, you know, God.
In order for a boo to be audible, there has to be enough people doing it.
Right.
In a crowd of 60,000.
Well, okay.
So in my opinion, I think that would be ridiculous.
Let's just say different scenario. Tom Brady leaves for one penny more, and he goes to the Jets.
I think that's ridiculous.
And he comes back, and people, you know, after they boo, they laugh. That's what it's all about. It's not like they hate the guy.
Fred has nothing to do with hatred, Fred. I'm just talking about
booing.
Appreciation for what a great player did for your franchise.
Whole, right, and I don't think
normally
that anybody's going to deny
that. Normally I agree with you, Fred, but Brady is a different story, I'd say.
Okay.
Well,
is Johnny Damon a different story?
Well, no, Johnny Damon.
Well, writers in this town were saying, how dare those fans, those stupid
I never
Red
read
Sox
one
fans.
Person say, how
Damon
dare those fans do that.
And on sports radio, you didn't hear that?
What I would do is this, and I don't understand why people wouldn't.
I don't understand why they would.
I didn't hear anybody say, "How dare they do that?"
You know,
they don't have the right to do that. They don't. No one is saying it the way that you're making it out to be. No one is being as pretentious about it as you are.
Stupid, cynical Red Sox fan.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that because there are no fans that are more overrated than Boston fans, and all across the board.
Since we are Patriots Football Weekly, and we have the opportunity to talk about the Patriots and the exact case. Adam Vinatieri is going to face that.
Right.
He's Tom Brady. He's as high as you can get as a kicker.
Adam Vinatieri will get a huge hand here.
But why? Why can't you boo him? You just said it's okay to boo him.
I didn't say that it's not okay if people. I didn't.
You just said you should boo him, so you're going to boo.
Whoa.
I'm not so sure he's going to get the
huge
hand.
I never said you should boo him. I'm saying
he's the case. He took the dollar more and got out to a rival and everything.
You're going to let me finish?
14,000% right.
You're going to let me finish?
I don't think that.
I don't.
But you're not. You're going against your own rule. And no, I'm not going to let you finish.
I said I don't think it's a big deal if people do. So if you are a fan,
that's
I know you can't
be stubborn.
I know you can't boo from the press box, but you're a fan and you came to the Colts Patriots. What would you do?
You'd
the
be out there laughing, stuff. Going,
boo! It's having fun. He went to one of our rivals.
It's ridiculous. That's all.
It doesn't take away from what he did as a Patriot.
I don't think that people don't have a right to boo him. I don't hold anything against anybody. It's just personally, I find it ridiculous. That's all. It just
it's
I disagree.
Fun.
With
it's
it.
Being part of the.
I don't think
Paul,
it's fun.
You don't even like to stand up when you.
I
go
don't
to
think
game.
It's fun.
You're not the
what
person
is fun
to
about
ask.
It? Explain to me what is fun about it.
You're being
where's
part
the fun?
Of it. You're being part of it.
Why can't you have fun in cheering the guy and remembering what
you
he did for you?
The second
now,
time,
that doesn't mean I have to go
out
there and root for him to make a field goal.
The second time he runs out in the field, you cheer him.
See, I go the other.
I go the other way. The first time you cheer him,
I cheer him. Now he's an opponent.
Whatever.
The first time you cheer him, and now he's an opponent just
right.
like anybody else.
That's whatever. How I would.
That's
how
I would feel about okay. it. And certainly if he's out there with the game on the line making a kick,
you're
there's, not, there's not even 1% of me that's saying,
right.
oh, Adam's a good guy. I don't want him to miss
and
this
you're
game.
Booing.
Screw that. Right. I want him to miss every time.
And the third time, it's a really angry boo from right. then on out. The second boo is a little bit of a laughing boo.
And then you get Barbara Walters in to come in and decipher the boos for you. If you were a boo, what kind of boo would you be?
Earlier we talked about Fiedler and how two teams plus one anonymous team were interested in it. According to Stan the Man, Pro Football Talk is saying the Steelers are that anonymous team.
Wow. I doubt it. Patriots are always the anonymous team.
Well, that would make sense for the Steelers, though.
Yeah.
If Roethlisberger is a little iffy, they might need a veteran.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Let me throw something out there for you.
Iffy is gay?
Yeah, questionable.
Okay.
Can I throw something
no,
out there
No, that's right. I'm sorry, Andy. Don't stop attacking me. You're right. I'm sorry.
God forbid Tom Brady gets hurt first quarter of week one, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have the quarterbacks.
Don't boo him if that happens.
No, they have the quarterbacks on the roster that they have now. And they have to go to Matt Castle, and he doesn't look as good as he did in that Dolphins game, and he's not ready to play.
Sure.
Do we criticize Belichick?
No question.
Okay. Do Patriots fans criticize
Belichick? I was no. going to say, we don't.
No. We might have
Ron Borges has a field day.
But no, Patriots fans will not criticize Belichick.
But don't you think that they should...
The only way that Belichick gets criticized is if it ends in a 2-14 season and then... You know, the success that we've known is over. That's the only way that he'll get criticized. He won't get criticized when it happens, I'll tell you that. Everybody will say, and I'll prepare you for this. Everybody will say,
Bill Belichick doesn't
deserve
it. That's
what everybody said in 2001 when Bledsoe got hurt. And then when it doesn't work
in
out.
In his best
said,
Mark Farinella voice.
And that's what they'll do. Am I wrong about that, Fred? Right. Will that be the hue and cry on talk radio?
Well, they'll give him the benefit of the doubt. They'll give him
exactly.
the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
But there'll be no day?
There'll be no...
No, but no. Fred, if the team struggles, don't you think fans would say, well, why weren't they more prepared for this by bringing in a backup?
As
that's
they
what
should.
I'm
when I tell you they'll have to struggle, it'll have to be like 2-14, and then you might, at the end of that season, hear a little bit of...
Kickstart your...
Jeez, they really weren't quite prepared
it's
for
Nick
the
Casario's
event that
fault.
Might lose Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It'll happen. I'm telling you. That's everybody will say... Well, they've lost guys in the past, and they've overcome it, so they weren't unprepared for this. Belichick knows what he's doing. He'll have something up his sleeve. Guys like Fred will say, they're looking out for those post-October 1st cuts, and he'll pick someone up before the trading deadline.
Well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Sign a veteran quarterback right now.
Jeff Blake?
Vinny's out there.
Vinny Testaverde, he's
going to the Browns, supposedly.
I mean, there's only Fiedler is like, and Kenny Rogers over there, Kerry Collins. I mean, those are the only...
That's not true, Fred. You
Tommy Maddox?
Fred,
it sucks!
But you're wrong. You could have traded for a Trent Dilfer. You can do
you
things
can do
to
whatever
bring in
you
a
want.
Veteran quarterback. You can't just sit there and... If they wanted to, they could have brought somebody
a in. Lot of quarterbacks changed teams this year. Second tier, you know, John Kitna changed teams. Joey Harrington changed teams. I'm not saying any of these guys are the answer.
Josh McCown.
Trent Dilfer.
Why are you rolling your eyes? They're
all
better than Tom Morrison and Corey
Fred,
Graham.
They're all backups.
I can guarantee you. Okay. I can guarantee you that if you're a general manager and you saw what Joey Harrington was looking for, there's no way you'd sign him.
This is what he does,
guy.
Though. He picks his little semantics. The point being, there's a lot of second-tier level quarterbacks that were available this offseason, and they chose not to go after any of them. Well, they chose not to sign any of them. I won't say they didn't go after them because I don't know if they did or not.
Well, you can sit in the stands with the rest of the Doug Flutie fans and yell and yeah, piss and moan that they
doing.
Got rid of Doug Flutie.
No,
okay,
I won't
take Bramlett over Flutie.
I would too, and they'll be in better shape without Flutie than they would be if he was around.
Yes.
All right.
I also heard some really questionable things about his practice habits last year.
Really?
Yes. Flutie's practice habits were unacceptable.
Just fooling around too much.
I heard the same things.
Me too.
Fact,
I was standing next to Paul when he heard him.
Did he do that little throw through between the crossbars during practice too?
No, I don't know, but Castle used to kick his butt in that game every week too. Especially when they got back to like a 30-yard line and Flutie could no longer reach the crossbar.
Couldn't even reach the end zone.
All right. I think he might be still at the podium. Jason doesn't have that.
The doctor doesn't know how to do that.
All right. Well,
he's looking.
That's going to do it for this edition. Well, hold on. We got one thing, a patent rebuttal. Gabe says it's not definite that the patent is released or that if he is the Pats would pick him up, but give me a break, Paul and Tom.
Yeah, guys.
He knows the system, runs routes well, and if not for Branch and Givens, he might have had bigger numbers. I don't think he sucked. As cowboy lover Tom says,
Andy
all
said
I ask is if the Pats would pick him up
this
because
is like
he would help other rookies at competition. If you call yourself writers, then try to be objective and not negative. I would rather hear what you would say he has to bring or offer to the team than hear you scream at Fred.
But you know what's funny? There it is in a nutshell. Be objective.
Right.
Don't be negative.
Don't be negative.
That's my problem with the quote-unquote objectivity of this town.
Give me David Patton's career numbers. The guy stunk. End the story. End the show, Fred.
All right. That'll be it for this edition. We'll see you next week. Next Wednesday, it'll be me and somebody because everybody else is on vacation. All right.
Human
talk
human
to you then.
Fred.